This is Greg Reese for InfoWars.com. I am here in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Tucker Carlson show for Alex Jones. It just ended. I just came out. I was in there talking to some of the crowd. I'm still processing it right now, but it is quite an amazing experience. One of the questions I was asking people is, when is the last time they thought in America that this many people came together to hear people talk about politics? And I don't think in our lifetimes, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. It was extraordinary. And if you're an InfoWars fan, if you've been following the show for a while, you really should have been here to see the crowd welcome Alex. It was amazing.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen,
last time that you know of in America where this many people came around to one place to hear people talk about politics?
I just don't remember anything this large.
I don't know if there ever was another time quite like the times we're living in now.
This is the first I've ever seen it. I got both my sons here now. Look at the crowd here. I couldn't believe how many young people were here. It's awesome.
Never. Not in my 48 and a half years that I've been alive.
I think things have gotten so out of control that you can't not pay attention to it now. It's in your face. It's coming to your doorstep. It's coming to your school. It's coming to your business.
I think everybody should be talking with your fellow neighbors. You know, I even have some neighbors. They have some signs out front I might not agree with, but I still know them. He calls me over, I help him out. I needed a generator one time. He gave me an old generator. I fixed it up and used it on my house.
Do you think they're going to steal the election again?
That remains to be seen. We hope not, but people are working very hard. People are getting smarter, but they could very easily steal the election.
Well, they're going to try like hell, so we got to get out and vote by the numbers.
I think they will. Absolutely.
Well, they're going to try.
Of course.
Well, I'm of the mindset that it's going to have to be postponed, that they're going to do something, whether a terrorist attack, a false flag, or even World War III, to postpone the election because they know they can't cheat again.
They're going to steal it. If they don't, they're going to have their own January 6th moment where they're all up there attacking the Capitol, doing it their way.
And what do you think we need to do next if they do steal the election, as far as...
Well, I don't know. We're trying to find places to move out of the country. But other than that, I think there's no place to go. And I think we just have to, as this gentleman said, we have to work harder and put everything we have into bringing back, what is true and right.
What the Declaration of Independence commands us to do?
I think we have to understand that your neighbor is not your enemy. It's the people who are, have taken control through multinationals and the world. Unfortunately, the world government, who are run by a bunch of NGOs and people who are faceless.
You know what? Sometimes I'm not even sure that the whole system isn't rigged. It's to begin with. You know, the whole system itself isn't rigged to just control the people.
There's going to be a war either way. Whoever gets installed, whoever goes to the White House, there will be a war regardless.
Well, actually, it's sorry to say, I think that is the answer, revolution. Because I've been of that mind since Obama was elected, that it's going to take a revolution to change it back to the republic the way it should be.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
America. What if I told you that Xavier Becerra was going to turn HHS into the child trafficking arm of the United States government? Would you believe me, or would you call me a conspiracy theorist?
Well, we had a whistleblower who came out and said, this is the information that we have, that HHS is not vetting the families or the people that these children are going to.
No child in our custody is released to a sponsor without having gone through a full vetting.
That you said, let's speed it up because Henry Ford could never have been rich and famous if he worked at the slow process. You are. Children are not widgets on an assembly line. They are human beings.
He deliberately pushed for speed, speed, and more speed because of the public relations problems that the administration was experiencing.
Get the kids out. Run them through. Get them out to those sponsors, those traffickers.
And then when we found that there were people on the transnational organized crime watch list who were actually sponsoring the children, the MS-13 related case, that's when things started to go a little bit haywire, because that's something that HHS did not want the general public to find out about.
This is treason.com. Pre-order now. That is the documentary by my guest, J.J. Carroll. He is a documentary filmmaker and one of the producers behind What is Treason? Hashtag Trafficked, a movie that exposes the human trafficking crisis at the border. You can find the documentary at thisistreason.com or on Rumble, the website again, thisistreason.com. And you can follow J.J. Carroll on X at JJCarroll14. Mr. Carroll, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me and talk about something that is so important. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, and I'm so glad that you have put together a documentary talking about this in the terms that it deserves. This isn't a migrant crisis. This isn't, you know, some natural phenomenon that we're dealing with. This is treason. Explain the title, This is Treason, and why you think that's the appropriate word to use here.
Well, I don't think there is any other word to use to describe what Joe Biden and his administration has done to America. Let's look at how I know this. I've spent 24 years in the United States Border Patrol. My last year in the United States Border Patrol was under Joe Biden. I was a senior leader within San Diego sector. And the day that he got in office, the number one day, I watched 94 executive orders cascade down into my inbox. And they were all unconstitutional orders to destroy the United States America's border. And then I watched President Trump's most secure border in the history of America go from 500 to 600 illegal aliens arrested every day, which is nothing, to jump to over 5,000 a day. And it's not stopped, 5,000 to 20,000 a day since Joe Biden's taken office, every single day. And they made a decision prior to him coming into office that they were going to use the weapon of illegal immigration to fundamentally transform America. I believe that in depth of my soul.
And do it against the wishes and the will of the people who are being affected by this in places like Springfield, Ohio, which is, you know, capturing headlines right now, but far from the only city where this is happening, very deliberately, you know, targeting red districts for an influx of 20,000 people, totally taking over that entire district, spending billions of dollars, making their lives worse. And when they try to speak out about it, you know, they're shut down and called hateful. There's so many aspects to immigration that are horrifying, and just one of them alone should be, I mean, it should cause outrage. There should be trials there. It should be a media circus for years. The fact that 325,000 children have gone missing in this process alone, like, the government should grind to a halt until that problem is solved. And yet there's like 20 of these types of stories, the fentanyl, the you know, just everything. So, like, how do you even make a documentary of this that's not 100 hours long? Like, how do you crunch into, you know, a feature film length all of what is happening at the border? I mean, did you have to pick and choose, like, what you thought was most important to highlight? Or, you know, what was your strategy when you have just this overwhelming amount of material to work with?
No, you're absolutely right. This is, I call it like a mutant octopus, where instead of having 8 tentacles, there's 1,000, and it's touching hydra, every, man. Yeah, it's touching every fabric of society. So I'll be very honest. Ryan Matt and I, my business partner and documentary filmmaker, went into this starting in March and filmed for 5 months. And we were filming one documentary called What is Treason about the invasion. And it became so apparent to us that child sex trafficking began to dominate every aspect of our documentary. Every aspect. And it got so big that we actually said, oh my God, we can prove that the United States of America is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history with the hundreds of hours of footage we have already captured. So we made a very strategic decision and said, and a moral decision, we can't sit on the fact that our government is trafficking children and just not do it or put it off for a year. So we created this documentary called Trafficked. And then in a month from now, we're going to premiere our second documentary called Invaded. So you're right. It is so big. What is happening on the border is intentional, strategic, and purposeful to fundamentally transform America. It is without a shadow of a doubt proved in both documentaries that the federal government is the enemy of the people. They are evil. We do not live in a republic anymore. We live in a quasi-democracy / tyrannical government. And I dare to challenge anyone to prove me wrong. And when you watch both of these documentaries, especially the first one that is out already called Trafficked, when you see what we show you, you are not going to be able to unsee it. And then the question is going to be simply, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to remain silent, complicit, and cowardly? Then if you are, then you are now complicit in this evil sin in America, child sex trafficking. And so your audience understands, the federal government has openly admitted to losing 325,000 children. I'm telling you right now, the Border Patrol has arrested and released 460-ish thousand. At the end of Joe Biden's term, it'll be 500,000. I'm telling you, they've lost them all. They've lost them all. How in the hell do you lose a child? More or less 325,000 to 500,000. And I'm going to quote President Trump, because he said it multiple times. A lot of them are already dead. People think they want to hear about child trafficking, and they think sex trafficking or labor trafficking. But there's two other areas that or aspects need to be talked about. Is the organ harvesting that is now increasing in prevalence, and child sacrifice. This is happening. I know it's hard to believe. I know it sounds insane, but we live in insane times. We just live in insane times. Look what's happened to you guys at Alex Jones in InfoWars. Think about what's happening. Is this America? Really, honestly, I think that's a valid question. Are we living in a constitutional republic that is called the United States of America? Or are we living in an alternative universe where mentally ill patients are running our country? I think that's a valid question. I think we all know the answer to that too.
And this is one of the, you're exactly right. And one of the bizarre things is that you have people who are advocates for immigration, who think that it's going great and think this is necessary. They think they are helping people. They think the charitable, good position to be in is to be in favor of immigration and to want to provide them with shelters and ease of access and need transportation even. It's weaponized altruism, right? It's weaponizing the good nature of American people by telling them, oh, you're helping, these poor people flee from dangerous situations, when in reality they are facilitating the most brutal crimes the world has ever seen. How do you deal with this? Because, these people, they want to be good. They think they're helping, but they're facilitating unimaginable levels of human trafficking, and they can't hear it. They won't hear it. You can't tell them. They won't listen. I mean, can your documentary break through to them? Is this something that you could show to somebody who thinks they're on the right side of history, thinks they're helping out the unfortunate because they're pro-immigration? We have to disabuse them of this idea, right? We have to convince them that what they're doing is not just not helpful, it's hurtful. Like, how do we get through to people like that?
I think when you see this documentary, I don't think that you can come away from that thinking our government is pure. I just don't. And this is not a Democrat issue, even though they are evil. And this is not just a Republican. This is a uniparty. And my partner, Ryan Mattis, says it perfectly. The Democrats facilitate this, and Republicans spend the money in order to allow it to happen. They do. This is a uniparty issue. And I had a discussion last night, or a debate, with a liberal from San Francisco on a podcast. And I kept coming back to the same question to him. And it's what I ask all the liberals and the rhinos. I hear what you're saying. You want to help the world. Great. Good for you. But I want to ask, what is the number of illegal aliens that you will allow into our country before you close the border? And do you know what? For 2 hours, we went round and round and round, and he can never give me a number. Do you know why? Because once you give me a number, then if it's 20 million, then what are you going to do to stop the 20 millionth and first person to cross the border? And the answer is you have to secure the border with a wall, with Border Patrol agents and military, and you close the border down. But they don't want to. That's the ultimate thing, is they do not want the border closed. Why? Because this is how they enrich themselves, with money and power. That's it. All the NGOs are registering millions of illegal aliens to vote. Think about what I'm saying. And where do those mail-in ballots go to? They go to shelters and hotels. And those illegal aliens move on to wherever they go. And those NGOs now have millions of mail-in ballots. Our election is a farce, is an absolute farce. Our government is registering illegal aliens to vote in our elections. America has never been this vulnerable. There is no other explanation for this invasion of 30 million people, 30 million in 4 years, 50 million illegal aliens in America right now. Everyone in the business knows it. Even congressmen are saying it out loud. 50 million. 1 in 6.5 to 1 in 7 residents in America is an illegal alien. Now you tell me, name me one civilization in the history of mankind that has sustained this level of demographic upheaval and succeeded and lived and thrived. None. You can't. So we are in dangerous times.
It's never happened at this scale. I mean, it's almost unimaginable, but it's obviously happening, and the effects are tangible. And as you do this documentary, I mean, the craziest thing maybe about all of it is, like, the Border Patrol doesn't like what's going on. The people, you know, who are facilitating this seem not to like it. Like, how were they able to orchestrate this, where you've got Border Patrol agents who mostly, as far as I know, are decent people, signed up because they wanted to protect the border, because they wanted to protect America and the Constitution, and yet they have been ensnared as now the facilitators of the invasion. How, you know, is it all just a couple people at the top giving orders and everybody else just following along like automatons? Are the people involved in the NGOs, are they true believers, or are they just, you know, cynically getting money out of it? Because I'm just trying to make sense of the madness that has allowed us to get here, and yes, the seeming impossibility of setting things right when it seems like it should be so easy. It's, you know, if the Border Patrol is told to let in a million people, can't they just say no? Like, how are they able to pull this off? And how deep do the tentacles go? Are the people involved on the ground in on it, or are they just following orders? Like, how do you think they've structured this to be able to get away with it for so long?
Well, the tip of the spear is Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of DHS. He has also created every policy that the Border Patrol was following all the way back to 2008. This is the man that created DACA, prosecutorial discretion, catch and release, the asylum abuse, parole, CBP One app. I can go on and on and on. He has created everything. Now, when we get to the Border Patrol, because that's where I spent my career, I'm telling you, I know the people that are at the top. They're gutless. They're absolutely gutless. Some of the people at the top have never even placed handcuffs on a single person in their whole career. They're gutless, and they just follow along because they want their next promotion, and they want their next promotion outside of their government job. That's it. But they're tying themselves to a traitor. They're tying themselves to Alejandro Mayorkas and the Biden administration, and they are traitors. And when you tie yourself to a traitor, you become a traitor. That's it. The United States Border Patrol agents, an epidemic of suicides. At the height of the United States Border Patrol, we had 21,000 agents. Now we are under 15,000. They are giving $30,000 signing bonuses to anyone that will join the Border Patrol, and they cannot fill slots because no one wants to be part of this treason. Every Border Patrol agent that I speak to, all of them, high performer agents, do nothing. They tell me all we're doing is checking the days until I can get out of here. I'm not going to sabotage my career, my everything, for anybody. I'm going to do everything that I have to do to hit my retirement time, and I'm punching out. So you're going to have a mass exodus, and you're already seeing it in the United States Border Patrol. So who's guarding the border? And the answer is no one. I want your audience to understand as well, there's 2,000 miles on the southern border, 2,000 miles. At any given time, 80% of the border is unmanned, meaning 1,600 miles does not have a single Border Patrol agent. So you and I are discussing how many people have come across. 12 million arrested and released, another 15 to 18 million crossed the open border undetected and abscond. The federal government has admitted to, this is hard to believe, has admitted to at least a million illegal aliens that they went down into the foreign nations across the globe, put them on flights, and flew them into America in the dark of night and did not count them. Think of this. Now, you explain to me how that's not treason. Explain, you can't. You cannot, and that's what we went on this journey to prove what is treason. And we proved it through Trafficked, and we're going to prove it through our next documentary called Invaded. And you can get both documentaries for the same price. We didn't charge anybody for the child sex trafficking. You just go on and buy Invaded, and you get two documentaries. And what we're going to show you about the children being sex trafficked, you need to understand our federal government knew all along that this was happening. They know it's going on today, and they do nothing to stop it. Why? This should be a nonpartisan issue. It should galvanize our government and our political leaders. Why would you allow hundreds of thousands of children to go missing and be sex trafficked and killed. Why? I think that's a valid question, and no one can give me an answer.
Yeah, and of course, they made decisions whose only purpose could be to facilitate this, the DNA testing. They used to do DNA testing at the border because people would show up with kids, and they'd say, I don't have any documents, but this is my child. They would DNA test them. Off the top of my head, I think the number was 1 out of 3. I think 1 out of 3 kids were not with a family member, totally unrelated, not who they said they were. And this wasn't people just going, oh, I found this kid on the trail and, you know, I'm turning him over to Border Patrol because I don't want him to get hurt. It's people lying, saying, this is my son, getting tested, realizing they're not related at all, and so they're separate. And one of the first things Joe Biden did was to get rid of those DNA tests. That's the type of thing where I would think if you talk to anybody with even a shred of conscience, they would be horrified at that. Horrified to know that for no reason, given at least, the Biden administration stopped doing DNA tests at the border, the only outcome of which could be to facilitate and ease the trafficking of children. I mean, that idea alone should be enough to wake people up out of their stupor and think this is more than just helping poor, innocent refugees. There's something deeply sinister about this. You know, what else?
There is.
What else in your movie sort of, is there anything else that like hits you like that, where it's just, how can this happen?
I think the whole movie, the people that I've spoken to, and I've received hundreds of views from people that I know, and people I just don't even, they're on X and they're just tagging me, and they're saying, and I have no ownership really in the creation of this documentary. It's all Ryan Madden's editing team. So I say this with no ownership. People are telling me it's the greatest documentary they've ever seen. It's so powerful. They've watched it twice. I've never watched a documentary twice in my life. And I was startled at first. Why? And they said, because the information you're giving to us is so powerful. It is so in your face that I knew I missed something. So I had to go back. It's going to shock you to your core when you understand the federal government is facilitating the movement of illegal alien children. And you go back to DNA testing, just so your audience knows, you're absolutely right. Under President Trump, so let me just give you a data point. Under President Trump, my last year, 10 to 15,000 unaccompanied alien children called UACs came across, and that was all because of Obama's policies. We had strict regulations, policies, regulations, DNA tests, the whole nine yards. We background checked the sponsors. The day Biden comes in, all that goes away. You know how many people, how many UACs that we arrested in Biden's first year? 120,000 plus.
Wow.
Over 10 times the amount under President Trump. And now we're up to 500,000. Do you know if a Border Patrol agent suspects? Because the cartels, it's called renting children. They rent the children to cross the border and they drug them up. So when you see them, they're almost comatose. They're like so drugged out, they don't know. So after they rape them repeatedly, they then rent them to illegal aliens, and that increases their smuggling fee. And once they cross and they get released, then they turn the child back over to the cartels, and they bring the cartels bring the child back. But if a Border Patrol agent now suspects that that's not the family, do you know that I have to, as a Border Patrol agent, get consent from the illegal alien, quote, father? I have to get consent. And if he doesn't consent, then I can't do it. And I release a child with a man that I know is not the father. Think of how evil this has become. And I will push back on Border Patrol agents. Where is your courage? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? I don't care about your pension. I don't care about anything. Why are you not standing up as a group of men and women and saying, I will not do this anymore? Because we all become complicit in this evil. And you're seeing these children's faces on there. I want you to understand, we're talking about babies to 17 years old lost in America. And I want you also to understand that 60 to 80% of every woman and child crossing that border has already been raped or sexually assaulted. And historical research shows that, look, just throw in a kid, just toss them. Who cares? They're expendable. Research shows that when children are sexually abused and raped, they act out on that because that's all they know. So what we have done is we have released 500,000 ticking time bombs into America, because I need your audience to understand, when we know a child's been raped and sent to the NGOs. The NGOs do not give that child any kind of psychiatric help. They just release him into America, him or her into America. And they're going to schools with your little Johnny and your little Sally. And there's going to be heavy prices to be paid on this treason. It just is. There's no way around it.
No, it's absolutely horrifying. We've seen videos of kids, you know, on the streets of New York, you know, talking about their travel, and they're casually talking about it. Oh yeah, I saw this kid get scooped up and disappear. I never saw him again. I saw, you know, dead bodies in the trees all through the Darien Gap. I mean, these are like 10-year-old kids casually talking about seeing people murdered and seeing children kidnapped and taken away in vans. And, you know, it might not be affecting them yet, but the seeds of psychological trauma are being planted. And like you said, they're being released into this country. The website is thisistreason.com. The movie is What is Treason? Hashtag Trafficked is the first one. Invasion is the next one that's coming up soon. But you can see now Trafficked at thisistreason.com. Follow J.J. Carroll on X at J.J. Carroll 14. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. And thank you for putting in this work. It's got to be at the top of the list of important things that any of us could be doing right now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
J.J. Carroll 14 on X. thisistreason.com. The documentary is called Trafficked. We'll be right back on the other side to break down a whole host of other insane things going on. It doesn't ever stop, folks. We'll be right back. Joined shortly by Ian Carroll. Very excited to talk to him about the assassination attempt and some of the bizarre associations that the attempted assassin had in his life. Before we do that, we have a programming note. It used to be that we had, four commercial breaks per hour. We'd have four commercial breaks per hour. We went down to three. Now we're down to two. So we got a commercial break in the first 5 minutes, commercial break halfway through the hour. Which is great. It means we have more time to talk to you. It means we'll be, you know, interrupted less if we're in the flow talking about a story. It's definitely a positive for all of our viewers. But you got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. But that means, you know, we're probably not selling as much as we could be. And for those of you that are new viewers of InfoWars, if you're just finding us on X, or if you're simply looking for an alternative message from the mainstream media, as you see what they're saying about the assassination attempts or any of their other just endless cacophony of lies. Because I know after something like an assassination attempt or a terrorist attack or anything that the media lies about, people flock to InfoWars because they know that if nothing else, they're getting an alternative view, something different than you're getting from the mainstream or even more typical or well-respected dissident outlets. And so if you're here for the first time, I want to let you know InfoWars is brought to you entirely by viewers like you. InfoWars does not have big sponsorships. We've picked up a few very recently, and this is sort of a new thing for us associating with companies like where you can win the truck and, you know, buy the T-shirts and stuff. That's all sort of new to us. For the entirety of InfoWars' existence, 99.9% of what funds this outlet is InfoWarsStore.com. And we sell the products. They're private labeled. They're top of the line supplements. Also, the T-shirts and the you know preparation stuff. The storable food. The water filters. The air filters. All of that's top of the line. The supplements, especially, are the best stuff available on the market. Private labeled from companies that you would recognize. I mean, and it's funny because people go, "Oh, you're selling snake oil." And it's like, but you actually take this. It's like this is the supplement that you love. You just bought it at some, you know, department store or grocery store, and you paid more for it than you could at InfoWars. So InfoWars is brought to you entirely by the audience, and it's a very simple system. And Alex set this up because this is what works, and he's been proven accurate in his, you know, foreseeing of the future. He knew that they would take us off the internet. He knew that what he was saying could not be countenanced by the totalitarian government that is slowly but surely being built around us. So we don't have subscriptions. The information is free. Everything we say on this show, everything we produce is free to air. Take it down, re-upload it, upload it yourself, make an account, Get subscribers, make money. We don't care. Just get this information out. It's all about getting the information out. So the best way that we determined to get the information out was to make all of the content free and simply have our own store with our own products, because at the end of the day, the system itself relies on capitalism for the time being. I mean, they're trying to get rid of it, but for the time being, capitalism is still the engine that runs this country. And so at the end of the day, if you have something that you want to sell and somebody wants to buy it, there's not a lot the government can do to get in between you without making the product illegal. But none of this stuff's illegal. So it's all fantastic. It's all top of the line. Most of it's white labeled. Some of it is proprietary blends that you know, we make ourselves, and that's some of the best stuff if you want my take. But if you've ever bought a turmeric supplement, if you've ever bought something like Nitric Boost, I mean, it's the same stuff you'll get at the store, the top of the line, you know, highest quality products, but we sell it for less. We sell it at InfoWarsStore.com, and it keeps us on the air. It keeps Band.Video on the air. It keeps all of our content creators on the air and at work, all of the crew that runs this. And by the way, this crew, you guys, it is wild how talented. We have no teleprompters. We have no show plan. We react to news as it comes in. And yet somehow the crew is like more on top of it than crews at like late night shows. I remember working behind the scenes at a late night show one time, and I'll admit it's impressive the way that they do things, but it's very robotic. It's very much like they have the script, the guy reads the script, and then there's a director standing behind the switchboard calling out what comes up next. Okay, graphic one ready, graphic one up. Okay, graphic two ready, graphic two up. And it's going along while the person behind the desk is talking. And it's just very, it's impressive because it's almost like military timing, just like exactly right. Hit this, hit that. Camera two, camera three, graphic two, graphic three. Like it's impressive, but it's robotic and it's stilted and it's pre-planned and it's packaged. That's not what you're getting in InfoWars. But the crew that we have is able to make shows look better than them, bring up content and things that we're referencing like before we even reference it. I don't even get how these guys do it half the time. They're mind readers. But it's important that we have a crew like this. It's important that we have studios like this. It's important that we show people that what's going on here is not some – we're not some fringe outlet. We're not some dude in our basement just rambling incoherently. What we're talking about is real. The effect that we have is monumental. The influence that we're able to wield in the positive for a better world, for the foundational morals of this country is, well, unparalleled. And it's all brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. So if you're just joining us for the first time, if you're just tuning into InfoWars, even as a curiosity, even if you hate us, even if you're just tuning into InfoWars because, you know, you're laughing at us for believing that, you know, the assassination attempt was real when you know that it was all fake. I mean, whatever. Who cares? Even if you hate us, like, you still need these products. Okay? That's the thing. And if you have people in your life that hate InfoWars, they don't need to know where their birthday present comes from, right? You can get them a water filter. They'll love it. They'll love it. And the products, it's funny. It's one of the things that, like, I find connections with people who would otherwise probably hate InfoWars because of what they've been told about us, because they don't actually know what we're about, but they've been told lies from the mainstream media. But it happens all the time at like parties or whatever. Tell you what, if you want to meet a cool, healthy girl, get into water filters. Chicks love water filters. It's amazing. Like, if you want to know a quality girl, ask her if she filters her water. I'm serious. She might not give a damn about politics. She might be a climate activist, like who knows, but if they care about health, if they care about nature, if they care about taking care of themselves or, you know, just not drinking poisonous swill out of the tap. It's so often that, like, I've had long conversations about, oh, you know, I was going to get the carbon filter, but I thought that this was a little cheaper. I didn't know if it was worth it. Well, you got to get this because this filters out this and this. It's very funny. Or, you know, talking to some hippie chick at a party and going, yeah, you know, they're poisoning the food and water. They're killing all the animals. They're like, I know, it's crazy. And it's like, yeah, we're supposed to be enemies. We're supposed to be on the opposite side. We're supposed to hate each other. You're supposed to think I'm a fascist. I'm supposed to think you're a communist. But it turns out we're on the same page. It turns out we believe that the earth is good and nature is wonderful and that the people poisoning it are evildoers that have to be stopped. So again, InfoWarsStore.com. You don't have to be an InfoWarrior, but if you are, you got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. But even if you're not, I still care about you. I still want you to be healthy. I still want you to be the best person you can be. And I don't want you spending all your money on trash. So instead of doing that, instead of buying at the big globalist box stores that will cheat you, go to InfoWarsStore.com, get a fantastic product. Nitric Boost is one of my new favorites. It's a vasodilator. Vaso meaning veins, dilation meaning getting bigger, right? So it actually can improve. Well, I don't want to make any medical claims. I'm not a doctor. So I'll just read the page here. It promotes the synthesis and discourages the degradation of nitric oxide, which is beneficial for cardiovascular function. It improves circulation and muscular performance. And basically, it vasodilates. It makes your veins flow better, and it really is magical stuff. And I started taking it just sort of on a whim, and now I can't stop. I'm taking it every day. With that, I am very happy to be welcoming Ian Carroll. He's the founder and content creator behind Cancel This Clothing Company. You can follow him on X at Cancel Clo Co, on Rumble at Cancel This Conspiracy, and you can snag some new threads over at CancelThisClothingCompany.com. Ian Carroll, thank you so much for joining us on American Journal.
How's it going, Harrison? Good morning.
Good morning. It's going well. And of course, we played your video yesterday about some of the information that's been discovered about the attempted assassin. Alex played your video as well. So you've already been all over InfoWars today. I know you're coming on with Alex later this week, but I want to just have you on because you are extremely good at connecting the dots. And that's what we try to do here is we take all these little bits of information. We try to draw the information constellation, let people know what they're really looking at. What is your take on the assassination attempt here 2 days after the fact?
It's early still, obviously, but we've learned from the first attempt that the FBI is not going to do the job. And so it was really cool to see the internet mobilize and first archive all of his socials before they got taken down by all the platforms.
Yep.
And to start to do their best to draw connections. And I was just doing my best to draw connections between what everyone else was doing. And what I see looks an awful lot like another operation. It does not look like a lone gunman, both in terms of the way he had access to the location, the way he had intelligence about where to be at what time, when Trump had not announced that on his official schedule or in any other official way, his direct involvement in the conflict in Ukraine certainly indicates that he has a lot of contacts in intelligence or other military communities, and his criminal record clearly shows that this guy has been getting off the hook for crimes that should be putting him in prison. That seems to indicate more intelligence connections, whether he had them before those convictions or whether those were the inciting incident of a relationship with intelligence. I don't know. But everything that I'm seeing seems to preliminarily indicate that this guy was in some way affiliated with some sort of intelligence operation. And we don't know yet for sure, but people have been zeroing in on this woman in his following list that seems to have a lot of intelligence connections that may have been a handler or a recruiter or some sort of contact in intelligence. So there's so many data points that point to him being more than just a crazy kook leftist. Mm-hmm. And the irony is that everyone else is trying to smear him as like some Trump supporter, which is so removed from the truth that it's almost laughable.
It's extremely laughable. It's so laughable. I want to cry. It's utterly insane. It's utterly insane that a person who waited for 12 hours with a rifle with the scope in the bushes to try to kill Donald Trump is being called a Republican and a MAGA supporter. It's so far beyond. But I think, you know, even in the absence of like solid concrete proof that he was associated with the intelligence agencies, the fact is the man is in a New York Times profile talking about using fake passports to move soldiers across borders from places like Pakistan. You don't do that without connections. You don't get away with doing that without some support from the intelligence agencies. So again, even if we don't have the exact phone numbers of the people he called or who he was in contact with, what he was doing with Ukraine and bringing soldiers in, that you can't do that without some intelligence cooperation. I mean, am I crazy in saying that?
Not at all. And it's also worth noting that his Act Blue donations on his like donations history all show that he's unemployed. And yet somehow this man is flying to Ukraine on someone's dime, recruiting people on someone's dime. Like, those are not cheap things to do. All the logistics involved, the purchasing of fake passports is extremely expensive. Whatever's going on there, there's someone funding what he was doing. And I think that people that don't have an understanding of how intelligence operations work wouldn't understand like the depth of compartmentalization that happens in those operations. Mm-hmm. But it's very plausible. It's actually essentially the nature of the industry that there are cells of different operations happening that are not disclosed to other operations and other and like to the mainstream military complex. And so there's people in the Ukrainian forces that are trying to decry him as being like, he's not affiliated with us, we don't know him, he's total garbage. But that doesn't necessarily say anything to me, because what I'm seeing looks like a piece of sort of a cell, mm-hmm. that would be doing their own thing that is not directly related to trying to fight the main conflict, but rather trying to create splinter groups or rebel groups or who knows, fighting forces. And that certainly is the kind of guy that would wind up doing weird, special clandestine operations.
Yeah. And when you look at some of the developments in the Ukraine war recently, I mean, this was very strategically timed, I think. I mean, just this weekend, you have the allowing by U.S., the U.K., and NATO of Ukraine to launch long-range missiles deep inside Russia. Putin comes out and goes, this is, we're at war at that point. I mean, we played a report on this in the first 5 minutes of this show. They're telling people, don't cross this red line, you're going to get into World War III, and yet our leadership is driving headlong towards that. Now you have this Ukrainian extremist try to kill Donald Trump, who's the only person out there even talking about peace. I mean, how do you think this plays into the wider geopolitical chess game that's going on right now?
I mean, I think the tragedy is that it looks, every indication seems to point to them trying to start World War III before the election, because the election may be slipping away from them, even beyond their ability to fudge numbers and whatever else. And so trying to escalate the war in Ukraine is a tragic symptom of them trying to fast track their plan, basically what it looks like. And that's coming on all fronts, both from escalating the conflict directly with Russia, as well as apparently allegedly trying to assassinate the one guy that is talking about stopping it, which is, I come from a leftist background and my family are leftists and I live in a leftist place. So I'm surrounded by the way that the left thinks. And the tragic part there is that they all believe that the Republican Party is the war party. And that sort of is grandfathered in from the George Bush era. Yeah. And none of them have, the ones that believe these lies are the ones that are still watching mainstream news. And they have been told that that's still the same exact game and that Trump is just the representation of that. And so they ironically think that Trump is this like evil war candidate, like rapist, when in reality, the exact opposite is true. And they have all been swindled into supporting the war machine that they themselves protested their entire lives. And it's really sad to see people that I know and care about being so completely taken in by those lies.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I look around, I go, what did they do to you people? Like, what happened to you people? We used to be on the same side, at least in this regard of wanting to stop the war. And this is what I don't understand, because I was never a leftist. Like, I was always conservative, but like, I was very anti-war, very anti-George W. Bush and McCain and these warmongering psychopaths that got us into the quagmires that we're just now barely extricating ourselves from. But when, you know, but I've just kept that. I'm just consistent, just anti-war. Just I keep being anti-war. And, you know, I voted for Obama thinking that he was the anti-war candidate. That was crap. That was total BS. So I go, okay, he's bad too now. Why can they not just see the world for what it is? Like, how are they so bad at identifying these obvious manipulations going on? And again, I know you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, but, you know, part of me just goes, what the hell is wrong with you idiots? Wake up. How do we get through to these people, I guess, is my question.
That is such a – that question gets right to the heart of it. And I think it gets right to the heart of the InfoWars network and philosophy, in that what I think is missing from their worldview is that most of these people, in my view, still see the world as Democrats versus Republicans, as a two-sided, you know, conflict of ideologies, mm-hmm. when I think there's a certain level of research and willingness to ask questions for yourself required in order to realize that the establishment parties on both sides are the same. It is just two wings of the same bird of the war party, the big pharma, all of the money captured both parties. And it's not that Trump represents the Republican Party now. It's that Trump undermined and took over the Republican Party because he spoke to their base, to the actual voters, and told and actually spoke their language. And he took the Republican voters away from the establishment Republican Party. And if you think back to the primary that Trump won, he was up against people like Jeb Bush. Right. And I think realistically, when you look back, they wanted a Jeb Bush in office, not a Donald Trump. And so Democrats have been sort of manipulated into thinking that Trump represents the Republican Party, when in reality, Trump represents this sort of splinter populist movement that is what we all truly believe, but has completely strayed from the establishment Republican Party. And that's why you get women like Nikki Haley out there that is essentially no different than a Democrat that's trying to take the Republican Party back and thankfully failing miserably.
Right. And then, of course, you're left with these very bizarre situations where the liberals and the Democrats are cheering Dick Cheney for joining their party. And it's like, what is going on? I mean, I feel crazy.
Oh, man.
And you know, perhaps the most powerful part about this, because you're right, if 2016, if Donald Trump hadn't come down that golden escalator, we would have had Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, and the rest of us would have checked out. We would have gone, you know what, politics ain't for me because it's a bunch of nonsense. And that's what they want. They want you not involved. They want you just rolling your eyes and going, whatever they do is fine. They're so pissed that Donald Trump has actually brought a giant spotlight onto politics and revealed their hypocrisy for what it is, which is sort of the perfect transition here, because Hillary Clinton is back on the scene. Hillary Clinton is out here saying, you know, we need punishment for disinformation. And that is really, I think, the most dangerous aspect. I mean, even aside the assassination attempts, what's more dangerous than a bullet is censorship and a lack of free speech. And obviously, they are pushing at every level, internationally, nationally, at the local level. They are desperate to get rid of our ability to speak freely. Why is it that they're so afraid of just our ability to show what is true?
I mean, you're hitting right to the heart of it again, Harrison. It's such a good point, because when you're in easy times, it's easy to feel like the bottom line is violence and warfare and sort of that layer of civility. Mm. But now that we're in these times, I think it's very obvious to everyone as we're experiencing it that actually the most base layer is freedom of speech, because freedom of speech is freedom of thought, and freedom of thought allows for learning. It allows for the dissemination of truth and information. And there's no war that is fought below the layer of information. Information is how we understand what's happening in the first place. And so if you can control information, you can control anything. And so it's actually more critical from their perspective to control our free speech, because then they can control what we know, what we understand, and what we believe. And that is even more important than stopping war in the first place, because you can't stop war if you don't know who's on what side. You can't stop war if you don't know what's actually happening on the ground. And so them coming after free speech is the obvious play once you step back with perspective, or if you've been through this enough times. But now that we're in these times when they're talking about all the censorship openly, it becomes so much more obvious. And I think that that's actually going to be a great attack vector, so to speak, a great way to wake people up, because it's really hard to come after free speech without overtly sounding like a dictator and a tyrant. And although they're reasonably good at kind of carefully curtailing their messages,
yep,
I think that more and more they're starting to slip up and say things that are just like absolutely abhorrent and indefensible. And more Democrats that I know are having to ignore those statements rather than confront the actual implications of what's being said on that side.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Or somehow they convince themselves, well, like, because it's our side doing it, it's actually good. It's like, no, at the end of the day, it's censorship. It's, as you point out, the censorship steals your right to think your own thoughts, to understand the world around you. It is so despicable what they're doing here. I wish we had more time to talk, but I had to get you on at least for a little bit because you've been doing such great work compiling some of the information we found out about this assassin. But one thing I've noticed over and over, and we showed it in the Hillary Clinton clip, is the way that they cannot let conservatives actually believe anything. Everything has to be some underhanded. She goes, Trump's bringing this up just to rile up his base. It's like, no, we have actual concerns. Do you notice that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is like when you talk about the info war, that's tactic number one, is reframe everything in your own context and filter it all so that you have control over your constituents' understanding of the opposition. Because the number one thing you have to do in this context is you have to dehumanize the opposition so that your party, your people, believe they're fighting evil. And that's true of every regime, every dictator, every tyrannical government in history, is the number one thing you have to do is dehumanize the other side. And when you look at the rhetoric of the current left, it's so clear as day that
it's dehumanization. Man, you're so good at breaking things down. Ian Carroll at Cancel Cloco on X, canceldisclosingcompany.com. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, folks, we are now live. We are now live on this Thursday, the 26th of September. My apologies. Got into a little bit of a car accident today. A little bit of a fender bender. Everybody's fine, but everybody's fine, though. Taking a left turn, somebody just pulled into my lane and hit me. No big deal, but I do apologize. But luckily, we have those incredible, incredible previous interviews to keep you busy while I came in. So I'm here now. We're going to do your daily dispatch. We're going to talk to Edward Zoll. We're going to take your calls, and we're going to cover all of the nonsense like we always do. So let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Thursday, the 26th of September, 2024. Suited up feds search Gracie Mansion after Eric Adams becomes first indicted New York City mayor. Nearly a dozen suited up federal agents arrived at Eric Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion, first thing Thursday to search his official residence just hours after Hisner became the first Big Apple mayor to be indicted on federal probe. What is Hisner? What is that? Am I missing something? Anyway, the men and women, who were all clad in business attire, filed into the mansion shortly before 6 a.m., hauling briefcases and large bags. At least two large SUVs were spotted at the mansion, had federal law enforcement parking placards displayed on their dashboards. Another black SUV that was spotted pulling into the property under the cover of darkness appeared to be a prisoner transportation vehicle with a steel partition separating the front and back seats, clearly visible photos taken by the Post show. Eric Adams has come out and given a statement about this that was very vague, very interesting. There's like not a lot of information about this, but it's one of those moments where like nobody really knows what's going on yet, as far as I know. But everybody has an opinion. But everybody is like just speculating wildly. It's very strange. So, and I don't know if we have that video, but we should grab the video of Eric Adams making his statement, because he's like there are going to be accusations and they're false, and they're going to say some things, but none of it's true. It's like, okay, what is happening? Yeah, like I get if you're trying to get out in front of a story, you want to tell the story in a way that makes you seem favorable. You want to capture the initiative on setting the narrative, but you have to actually say what it is, right? The idea is if they're going to come out and say, "Oh, kicked a dog," you want to come out and go, "Look, they're going to say I kicked a dog, but let me tell you how it really went down. Let me tell you why the dog deserved it," or whatever, right? You want to set the table so that then when everything comes out, people have your narrative in mind, not theirs. But to come out and just be like, things are going to happen, but they're not true, and they're going to say things about me, but I'm a good person. See you tomorrow. And it's like, well, all right, this doesn't really mean anything. And then immediately you have people online. It's like very strange to me. People just being like, he's being railroaded. Other people just being like, yeah, he deserves to take him down. It's like nobody knows what's happening so far. Nobody has any idea. It's almost like cartoonish where this mayor comes out and is just like, I'm being accused of things and they're not true. And just half the crowd is just like, boo, no, you're guilty. And the other half is just like, he's innocent, let him go. And it's like nobody knows. Nobody has any idea what the accusations are, whether they're valid, what the evidence is, why this is happening, whether it's political persecution or the legitimate investigation that found corruption. Nobody knows. There is some speculation about cryptocurrency and how Eric Adams, I guess, was high up in a crypto called Tether, or I don't even know what Tether is. I don't even understand this crap, but the president of Tether is associated with him. Oh, we're in commercial break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, folks. We'll be right back. I'm all out of sorts here. I forgot we had that 5-minute shortened segment. Still getting used to these long 30-minute segments we have now that we've gotten rid of two of our commercial breaks. So we'll get back to the story in just a second. I'll show you examples of people jumping the gun on this. What I was saying was that I guess Eric Adams was partner with somebody at the top of Tether. The person, his partner, is now working with the Trump campaign. So there's speculation that this could be associated with maybe some crypto FEC financial filings. As far as I know, I mean, unless I missed something in the last hour that I've been dealing with insurance and stuff, nothing's come out about this. So we'll get back to that. I'll show you the video and I'll show you some of the reactions that people are having. Meanwhile, Israeli strikes on Lebanon and Gaza leave hundreds dead and wounded. More than 90,000 displaced in Lebanon as Israel calls up reservists for possible ground invasion. Israeli attacks on Gaza kill at least 16 Palestinians. Israeli statements could sabotage Hezbollah-Israeli truce talks, say Western diplomats. The death toll of Palestinians killed in Gaza since the 7th of October has risen to 41,534, with another 96,000 injured, the enclave's health ministry has reported. Israel continues to strike Beirut, especially the southern suburbs. And there's been a lot of sort of back and forth here. There's areas where the Iron Dome is depleted of missiles, and the Hezbollah missiles are breaking through. Yesterday, there was this drama where it was reported an attempted incursion into Israeli territory was met with, you know, massive force by the Israelis themselves, and it turned out to be wild hogs. So apparently there was a pitched battle between Israeli soldiers, helicopters, like tanks. Like, they deployed everything, thinking it was a incursion, only to realize it was couple of hogs, which reminds me of the event early on in the current Gaza war, where Hezbollah tied a bunch of lights to migratory birds and sent them over Israel. So Israel thought it was a drone swarm attack and scrambled, and like the sirens went off and the radar went crazy. And it turned out it was just a flock of birds. I'm saying maybe the pigs are working for Hezbollah. Maybe they're all in on it together, although that wouldn't be very halal, would it? Very haram. Meanwhile, docs reveal Facebook trained CDC on how to censor Americans. This from the Federalist. It comes from a lawsuit by the America First Legal Organization. New documents reveal Facebook trained officials in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on how to censor American speech on COVID and vaccine misinformation. According to records made public by the conservative nonprofit America First Legal, Facebook opened an end-to-end workflow allowing federal bureaucrats to flag posts for censorship. The new portal dramatically increased the efficiency of the censorship machine by allowing up to 20 links at a time to be referred for censoring, AFL reported. Each censorship request automatically generated a ticket number so that the government could track if Facebook complied with the censorship demands. Now, this comes at the same time that Mark Zuckerberg is apparently making a transformation into a libertarian. Okay, sure. And of course, he wrote the letter saying, actually, yeah, we did censor people on behalf of Uncle Sam, and we feel real bad about it, guys. We're super sorry, for reals, though. And I wonder, like, I wonder if this is just the beginning and if things are going to get a lot crazier. Clearly, he's making some public relations, highly calculated move. And I wonder why. I wonder what information he has and why he's so desperate to distance himself from, you know, all of the anti-American activity he's been involved in. But we're not going to forget. We hold grudges, Mark. FBI letter to DHS IG confirms agency deleted J6 pipe bomb footage by early March 2022. Just hours ago, Revolver published a breaking report drawing renewed attention to the significance of DNC surveillance footage that the FBI presented to the public in furtherance of its investigation of the January 6 pipe bombs. In late 2022, Revolver published a series of damning articles definitively showing that the FBI was withholding critical DNC surveillance footage from the public, and in all overwhelming likelihood, the footage that the FBI presented to the public was deliberately degraded in quality so as to prevent the public from being able to identify the bomber. In the piece in question from earlier today, they broke the news that they learned from a highly trusted source that a government employee, not the FBI, investigating aspects of the January 6 pipe bomb case, went to the DNC and viewed its footage from the evening of the 5th. The government employee reported that he or she definitely and clearly saw the video, the pipe bomber placing the bomb. The employee did not notice any degraded quality, as is evidence of the footage the FBI presented to the public of the pipe bomber on the evening of January 5th. There are a number of critically urgent questions that arise from this explosive information. So yeah, the FBI deliberately hiding evidence of the pipe bomber. It was an inside job, folks. January 6th was an inside job, and hopefully one day we will get the full story once people currently in charge are punished for their crimes and replaced. And finally, the story from the AP. This is the last one. Folks, it's time. Okay, it's time. It's September, which means, according to the AP News, it's time to roll up your sleeves for new COVID and flu shots. It's time, folks. Come get your poison. Fall means it's time for just about everybody to get up to date on their flu and COVID-19. I don't even want to read this. I don't even want to read this propaganda. It's not time. Do not ever get flu or COVID-19 vaccines. Neither is necessary. Probably both of them are poison. And I really just put this in to tell the story because, look, we've been in this for so long. We've been, you know, anti-vax, like it's been so obvious for so long. And it's been nice seeing piece by piece, you know, population by population, people waking up to what's going on, the numbers coming in where it's like half a percentage point of the population has even gotten a second COVID shot. Like, people are awake now, and it's nice because we've been here the whole time, and it's like we're in the safe zone, we're in the truth arena, and crowds are trickling in and more people are joining us in here. But I want to remind you that there's still huge numbers of people outside, and the persistence with which they are wrong is just shocking. It really is. My wife was telling me a story. Coworker of hers has gotten every booster they've offered. They've probably had 6 or 7 shots, and they've gotten COVID like every 3 months for the last 3 years. And my wife and I have gotten COVID once. We got COVID once early on in the midst of the pandemic. Haven't tested positive for it since. Haven't had symptoms since. But the people that are getting vaccinated are getting COVID to a crippling degree every 3 months. And so she's telling this story, the coworker, and she goes, yeah, you know, I got COVID and my husband realized he hadn't gotten his booster yet. So he went really quickly, you know, to get his booster, you know, since I had COVID, he wanted to be immune to it. So he went and got his booster vaccine. And then he got COVID 2 days later. So like, I just want to remind you how utterly lost people are still to this day. There are still people out there that are wearing masks. There are still people out there that are getting their 7th booster, having gotten COVID 5 or 6 times, and they're getting COVID the day after they get the booster. And they don't think that's strange or weird or anything. They don't even, it like doesn't even compute to them that people who have never gotten a vaccine got COVID once 4 years ago and never again, while they get booster after booster and they keep getting COVID. I just want to remind you, folks. I just feel a responsibility to remind you that where we live is sort of a fantasy world. The whole InfoWars community, it's a little bubble of paradise where people are awake and aware of what's going on. Outside of this bubble, are people just lining up for cyanide? Like they're just lining up for poison. They are willingly subjecting themselves to something that proves over and over and over again it's either ineffective or actually poisonous. So I just want to remind you. I just want to remind you about that in case you forget just how far people are gone at this point. It is crazy. I was talking to another family friend over the weekend. They had a friend, 45-year-old woman, just drop over dead, blood clot in her brain. Seems like every day or every other day, there's some 35-year-old athlete, the prime of his life, the top of his training, just falling over dead. Recently, it was a jiu-jitsu black belt, right? Who was the guy that died yesterday? I didn't know who he was. Apparently, he was famous in the sports world, 33, 35 years old. Died suddenly. It's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, it feels like a Black Mirror episode or an episode of The Twilight Zone, where before the year 2020, if a 35-year-old athlete or a 45-year-old mother just died, it was like a big deal. It was like there'd be an investigation. They'd want to do an autopsy. It feels like a Twilight Zone episode where it's like, oh yeah, 45-year-old people sometimes just fall over dead. And you're sitting here like, no, this is not normal. This has never happened before. It's not normal. It's not routine. It's either some freak medical accident where they have like a tumor growing they don't know about and it severs their nerve endings, or I don't know. It's like it's either a very rare, unlucky medical enigma, or like it was murder. And so, like if a young person dies in their sleep at 35, before 2020, the police would come in and go, "What was she drinking? Who were her enemies? I mean, maybe it was just a freak heart attack. That does happen every couple of years, maybe, but it's just not normal. And what's even less normal is people's ability to ignore it. That's like even crazier than the fact people are dying, is the fact that I can be talking to a family friend. It's just like, yeah, blood clot, 45, alive one moment, dead the next. And it's like, and even I, you know, even if somebody who does this for a living and so outspoken about it, like even I'm just going, oh my gosh, that's so tragic. Because I mean, it's tragic. I'm not being facetious or anything. I'm like, but what's screaming in my head was like, it was the vaccine. You know, it was the vaccine, right? That sounds like a vaccine injury. It sounds like your friend was killed by the COVID vaccine. But like, you know, we're at a birthday party. I don't know. I don't really want to open that can of worms. So I'm just like, oh my God, that's so sad. Like, how tragic. That's horrible. At least she didn't suffer. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to find things to say, but it's like, okay, your friend was murdered by Dr. Anthony Fauci. You understand that, right? But I don't think they do. I don't think they do. So it's time to get your flu shots. So folks, the AP is here to tell, rolling up those sleeves, you guys. You know, just make sure your will is in order and then roll up those sleeves. Make sure your next of kin is ready to be alerted and then get your flu shot because it's time to die. We're going to move on now. I've got a bunch of videos that I would like to show you, including I will be going and grabbing the Eric Adams video, because that one is just, it is truly strange. It's truly strange. I'll go ahead and put this in right now. And we'll talk about Eric Adams. Again, unless there's new information breaking in the time that I've been on air, as far as I know, nothing official has been said about why he has been indicted, what he's indicted for, why they have searched his home, again, from the Daily Dispatch. Suited up feds search Gracie Mansion after Eric Adams becomes first indicted NYC mayor. Nearly a dozen suited up federal agents arrived at Eric Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion, first thing Thursday to search his official residence just hour after Hisner became the first Big Apple mayor to be indicted on in a federal probe. What is Hisner? I got to look up what Hisner is. I just put the video in, guys, if you can tell me when you pull that in. It's the statement from Eric Adams. As he attempts to get out in front of whatever happened, but doesn't give anything about it. Hisner and Herner on occasion is a corruption of the title His Honor, used in particular to refer irreverently to the mayor of larger cities. Okay. Okay, great. All right, so they're using slang in the New York Post. Okay. Tell me when you got that video, and we'll go to it, because I want people to see, if they haven't already, the strangeness with which he announces the fact that he's under indictment. And then, but then, you know, I got these statements from people on X, like Ashley St. Clair. It's like, Mayor Eric Adams is being politically persecuted by a weaponized judicial system for being the only big city Democrat mayor to speak out against the flood of illegal migrants into our neighborhoods. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think that's. And we don't know, but like, what are you talking about? This is so, it's very strange how people have very strong opinions about stuff that nobody knows is happening. It's very odd. Let's go to this statement. Here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit. If I'm charged, I know I am innocent.
I mean, so they're expected to announce the charges Thursday. Honestly, I'm like speechless. I don't know if this is a comedy, if this is, I mean, what was that? Honestly, what was that? Like, I want a transcript of it just so I can go through line by line. He says, it is now my belief that I'm going to be charged for crimes. And I'm innocent. I don't know what the crimes they're charging me, but I am innocent. I knew they were going to come after me for standing up to you. Like, what has he stood up for or against? What is he talking about? I don't understand. Like, when you see that, it's either like, okay, this dude has, you know, bodies in his basement. This is the vibe I get. He's either like panically trying to come out in front of just the most horrific story ever, and he's going down, but he's like flailing as he's like, I got to do something. I'll put out a statement. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make any sense. Or I don't know what else. I don't know what the other option is, I guess. Or it is fake. That's just like the the sense I get from it, and again, I don't know. We don't know if he's guilty or not. We don't even know what he's supposed to be guilty of. Nobody has any information about this. But it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, somebody like Ted Bundy getting up in front of the cameras and just going, I am being persecuted because I choose to stand up against the powerful. And it's like, no, you killed women. What are you talking? What? Just take the punishment. You committed crimes. It's time to admit to those. And it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. You were trying to stand up against somebody or for somebody. Who are you standing up for? Who are you standing up against? Whoa. What does it have to do with the crimes that you're committed of? Like, it's Twilight Zone bizarreness. And maybe I'm wrong. I have the feeling that Eric Adams is about to go down in a very big way. That's probably legitimate. If I just had to guess, I'm going to guess that, like, this is not political persecution. Again, nobody knows. I'm speculating as wildly as everybody else. But Ashley St. Clair goes on to say, by the way, the inside scoop is Mayor Eric Adams was meeting with several large right-wing leaders over the last 6 months. This indictment isn't about political corruption. We still have no idea where the $850 million for mental health services that Bill de Blasio's wife misplaced is. Selective persecution. Prosecution. Is it about political corruption? We don't know. But what is she talking about? Now, she lives in New York, so I'd assume that she might have some inside information with people there, but why are you defending the guy if you don't even know what the indictments are? We have no idea what he's even supposedly guilty of. So why is this happening? Other people, you know, and it's just the funny part is that it's people on both sides just like coming out so strongly when nobody has any idea. It's half the side being like, oh, well, the DOJ is just doing this as a show to make it look like they're actually nonpartisan because, you know, people are so mad that they're just going after Trump that they're like, oh, we'll go after a Democrat mayor, too. And it's just like, but you have no idea. You have no idea about any of this. So until we actually know anything about this, we'll withhold our judgment on it, but also just sit in baffled bewilderment at the fact that people on both sides have already taken sides on this idea. And people saying, well, he's the only big city mayor to come out against migration. He hasn't come out against migration. He's demanded that the feds give him more money because his policy is bankrupting his city because he brought in all the immigrants and he gave them all 5-star hotel rooms. So you think he's being indicted by the DOJ because he complained about the problem that he caused? What is this even? What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. This is the problem, folks. You need professional conspiracy theorists. You need InfoWars. We can't have all these amateurs out there speculating wildly off no information, making the rest of us look bad. You got to have some information. You got to have some insight. You got to have some documents. Then you speculate. Then you figure it out. Oh, my God, it's him. It was him the entire time. Eric Adams, Ted Bundy, confirmed. My guest is Edward Zoll. Ed Zoll is the host of The Agenda on X and producer of Died Suddenly. He's with us today to talk about one of Kamala's biggest scandals that nobody is talking about. You can follow Died Suddenly on X at @DiedSuddenly_ and the website DiedSuddenly.info. Ed, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Harrison. It's quite an honor. Quite an honor. And, you know, even going back to the beginning of our friendship, man, you have come a long way. My goodness, it's exciting to see your career and your family, man. You are the American dream. So I'm glad to join you here on the American Journal.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. Well, you too. I mean, Died Suddenly is a force to be reckoned with, a cultural phenomenon, if I may say so. And also, I didn't see anywhere on the sheet they gave me, you do a Bible study like every day because I see it on X. Tell us about yes, that real quick, yes, in case people are interested.
It's a passion project. You know, I saw all these younger Christian men who, you know, were watching streamers. They were watching, you know, whatever popped up on their feed, and they were doom scrolling. And I was like, man, I really would like to try to positively impact these younger guys. So I started a Bible study about 3 years ago. Been doing it Monday through Thursday. Friday, I can't do it because I got to spend the time with the wife. She put down her foot on that. But anyway, it's a Bible study. Starts at 7:15 a.m. Eastern, if you're up and around. And we're going through the book of Revelation right now, which is kind of very, very aptly timed based on all the things that are happening in the world. Yeah. And if we get enough like engagement, I promise the stream and the people watching that I jump in the pool. So that's part of the bargain. And they stay the entire time, Harrison. We're teaching the younger guys, the next generation, the Bible. I just have to trade jumping in a pool for it. So
that's well worth it. No, that's great. And it's great to see so many people like yourself, you know, taking on these multifaceted positions and helping to guide younger people in a way that is positive and not just, you know, telling them to indulge in their worst instincts. So I did want to plug that because I think that's an extremely positive thing. But now you have some interesting information about sort of what we've been talking about Mayor Eric Adams. We have some more information about that connection to P. Diddy. But I want to start with a tweet from Died Suddenly that went pretty viral. We covered the story momentarily yesterday, but you know, it deserves a lot more attention. It says this, Died Suddenly_on X. Congress just ran a drill to test run replacing lawmakers after a mass casualty assassination event. A constitutional amendment has been proposed by these four congressmen to make all elected officials choose five people who can be picked by their state governor if they're killed without any vote from any constituents. A lot of strange things about this. What's your take on it? Why would they do this? Why do it now? What is this about, Ed?
I think that everyone is feeling the climate right now. You know, mm-hmm. There's definitely a spirit of murder in the air. We see this with the very public threats on President Trump's life, and also the drumbeats to war. I mean, this morning I woke up looking at a very scary headline that Russia is threatening to use nuclear weapons if the U.S., after Zelensky's meeting with Biden today, agrees to allow them to use missiles against Moscow's capital. I mean, stuff like that, I think it has people kind of unsettled. In regard to this drill, we know that it's never the headline. It's never what's happening. The agenda behind this, I believe, is they are trying to do predictive programming. I think that many of the members of Congress who are neoconservatives, who are their mindset is they love bloodshed, they love war because it helps their stocks. It also helps Satan. You know, anybody who dies, you know, it feeds his energy level. But I think in respect to this, they took advantage of the assassination attempts on President Trump to propose something that should be completely foreign, completely insane to most Americans, that we would literally amend our own Constitution and then, in the event of the death of half of Congress, because that's what this drill was. It was published right through the Washington Post. I'm sure you covered this yesterday. It was kind of hidden. It was behind a paywall until this week, so no one really saw it. But they ran a drill, and they said, oh, well, if Congress is all wiped out, then we're basically going to be without governance. What are we going to do, Harrison? You and I are too stupid to govern ourselves. We're going to have to empower the governors of those states to pick from a basically puppet list of five candidates. If a congressman comes into office, they would basically have to pick five stooges from the party, obviously establishment people from their state. And then if they die, the governor just picks from the roulette. He says, okay, I'll pick stooge number one to replace this man. No vote, no feedback from the constituency. And then guess what? That person is now enacting laws or voting on what would be probably the biggest emergency in U.S. history if right. half of Congress was killed, right? But this story, the deeper part of this, Harrison, a lot of people missed, is it coincided with the Summit of the Future that was right. in New York City. It was a United Nations style event. And at this event, they spoke also about building an emergency platform. Now, this emergency platform, they always use such vague and very kind of sanitized language in their documents and their statements. But what we did catch is that they proposed, in the event of a black swan event, an event which would be cataclysmic, a nuclear attack, a pandemic, bioweapon, something crazy that disrupts society, that then we would have to bring in non-government actors to run the day-to-day operations, including foreign entities, you know, foreign dignitaries, foreign governments, and potentially even a foreign army. Maybe, again, this is what the migration crisis was always about. We always wondered, the UN's not going to bring in their blue helmets, right? But maybe they've been bringing them in with brown people and other foreigners through the border.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... They're definitely getting something ready, or they're training America to expect something? I mean, the number of announcements like this obviously coincides with the Pact for the Future. It coincides with the threats of nuclear war with Russia. It coincides with the Middle East, you know, blowing up into outright war. It coincides with the FBI making statements about, you know, you need to be prepared with 3 months of stored food and water. It's like something's coming. Something's coming. Something's happening. They're setting up for something. And it's sort of obviously suspicious, because don't they have procedures in place already if a congressman dies in office? Why would they need a new set of procedures to handle this? Why are they treating it as if it's likely that half of Congress is killed all of a sudden? Like, obviously there's things like the designated survivor. I'm sure people are aware of that, where during the State of the Union or other events where you've got the entire executive branch, the entire judicial branch, the entire legislative branch all in one building together. It's like, kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, if something happens and that building collapses and the entire government is gone, we got to have designated people that are not invited, that stay somewhere else, so we'll stay safe. And like, that kind of makes sense. But why are they doing it now? What are they preparing for? And what are they working, you know, in the background, undercover? What are they putting into place? How are they choosing these people? Just a lot of questions still. So,
well,
there's
one difference between the official designated survivor law, because you're right, there already is a procedure in place if a congressman dies. I mean, we've had congressmen die in office before. We had senators die in office before. The difference would be is that this new constitutional amendment, they're calling it the continuity amendment, just like the continuity of government, you know, the right. Rex 84 kind of guy, you know, the Raven bunker, all the Raven Downs. Like, the government's always thinking about how to protect itself. But the difference here is they would replace it within like 5 days, replace it within 10 days. It would be almost immediate. And I think the reason for that, Harrison, is that the government wants to have the power through a puppet to be able to bring forward some radical changes in the event of an October surprise or some other crazy event. And then they wouldn't have to get the public's mandate of approval. It would be the veneer of public approval because it's a congressman that's been brought in. But then all you have to do is control the governors. And hasn't that always been the case too? Think back to the 2020 election challenge. The governors were the most important position, because the governors, if they supported, again, challenging and really even talking with their Secretary of State and trying to listen to what President Trump was saying at the time about the election steal, then those states were at least a little more kind of apt to intervene. If the governor's not on board, I mean, Georgia, the governor was definitely not on board. You know, Brian Kemp was a complete enemy of President Trump and the Election Integrity Initiative. You lost it and you didn't have any control. So the governors in this case, and this hasn't been passed yet, but it is a weird, eerie thing that they were discussing, kind of shows you where their brains are at. In this event, the governor would basically, the governors of all the states, would now become the officials who are in charge of the country.
It's so weird. You know, what I said about it yesterday, like my first sort of knee-jerk reaction is like, if I was a congressman, I wouldn't choose five people. I don't want to make it easy. Like, yeah, let me make it easy for you. If I die, I want to make it easy for you to replace me. It's like, if somebody asked me to do that, I'd go, are you planning on killing me? Like, why are you trying to get me to set up this chain of events for when I die? I don't want to die. And if I do die, I don't care who follows me up. I don't know. It just strikes me as very suspicious. And if I was a congressman, I wouldn't choose five people to replace me. I'd go, no, if you kill me, you're going to have to deal with the fallout of
Maybe
it.
Maybe that was the subtle threat.
Right.
Maybe that was the subtle threat. Maybe it was never meant to be anything more than just a shot across the bow to all the congressmen and all the senators, all the elected officials. As we approach October, you better stay in line. You better vote the way that we want you to vote. You better not rock the boat when it comes to a spending measure or government shutdown or dare us, go to war with Iran or Russia. You better not stand up, because congressmen, we have options. You know, it's really disgusting the way these people think, Harrison. And you know this, covering this every single day. You know, you're engaged in the info war. You know this, that the information itself is the battle. And congressmen, we already have an issue getting them to take a stand. Many of them are bought and paid for by lobbyists. Some of them are blackmailed. But in respect to this, they're literally being told, you may die and we can replace you in a moment. Get in line, congressman.
Right. And there's so many bizarre aspects of this. No one's like to think about that stuff. Kilmer introduces continuity plan ahead of the State Union. And also, you know, in studying this stuff and looking at the history of the world, you realize there's nothing that's beyond the pale for these people. I mean, the idea that bad actors, either in our government or in another government or in the UN or whatever, like, if you think it's outside of the range of possibility that they might themselves set off real pipe bombs this time and actually kill half the Congress, I mean, they've killed a million people in Ukraine for no particular reason. Like, these people don't care, and what they're willing to do is beyond your imagination. That's actually, you know, one of their strengths, is that, like, nobody but them could have ever imagined the Twin Towers going down, but they took them down in front of everybody, and they traumatized, and, you know, the entire world in an afternoon. They'll do it again, and it looks like things are falling in place for something along those lines, and they can be blatant about it, because once the event happens, if the ammonium nitrate that went missing from a train a couple months ago is driven in a box truck up to Congress during a meeting of both the houses, and it blows up and everybody dies, you know, people are going to be so traumatized, it's going to be such an emergency, it's going to be such heightened emotion, nobody's going to look back at the evidence that they'd been preparing for this for at least like a couple years, right? It's going to be like, look, you may have speculation about that, but we got to deal with this right now. It's an emergency. So it's like, when they do something like that, it's so intense that they can get away with setting everything. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Well, it makes absolute sense. I mean, it's again, why they come after InfoWars. I mean, what you guys do every single day is you disrupt their propaganda. You dissect their ability to wage chaos on the minds of the people of our nation and the people of this world. Because you think about it, we're so overwhelmed already. Like, we're in the news business. You know, we're really in God's business. We're trying to share the kingdom with people, and it just so happens that we're truth tellers in the information war. But in respect to the average person, their minds are already overwhelmed. They're getting maybe one or two pieces of information a day. Like, here in Florida, Harrison, you may or may not know this, but whenever there is a hurricane, one, everyone blows it out of proportion. Sure, right. There's rain. Sure, there's wind. But no one is going to die. No. Well, some people obviously die when these storms come through. But you know what I mean? It's not going to be cataclysmic. It's not going to be a black swan that knocks out half the state. But people act like it. Like today, there's I was driving. I'm going to get gas. And there's people running into the store, grabbing Cheetos. And they're grabbing anything they can get their hands on. And it's something psychological. But then those are our fellow Americans. Those are our fellow citizens. So just imagine this. They don't have a way to process that the government is thinking about, like, in a black swan event will knock out half of Congress. They don't have any way to process that we might be going to war with Iran because President Trump's saying they're trying to kill him. I think at the heart of this, we have a job and a mandate to be level-headed truth tellers, to help inform our fellow man, and again, get past the propaganda, because the propaganda wants to lead us to chaos. We know that's the devil's modus operandi, you know, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to sow chaos. Our Lord is a Lord of life, and our Lord is a Lord of order. And for us, we have to make sure we give that mindset to everybody who listens to us daily.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, one thing that I've noticed recently over the past month or so is, you know, one of the deep state, the enemy's biggest strengths is keeping us reacting to them. And they've sort of lost that a little bit. You know, they are used to, they do something out of the ordinary, just insane. We are all like shocked by it and knocked back by it. And as we're trying to deal with it, they're getting the next big surprise ready. And so they're sort of above it all. They know what's happening. They're not surprised by, you know, what they're doing. But something happened over the summer where, like, they started to lose that edge and they had to start responding. I'm, you know, just thinking about the debate with Biden being such a disaster, mm-hmm. The assassinations failing. And it felt a little bit like whoever's pulling the strings is trying to play catch up. And it seems like now they're like just gunning it, you know, pedal to the floor. They're trying to get everything in place so that they can regain and retain the initiative in the battle of consciousness. And they want to keep people in the back feed and shocked and surprised. And just as you were talking there, it just makes me think about, like, you have to, like, foster a calm in a crisis mentality that even if things go crazy, you have to not contribute to that because it can make absolutely everything worse. And I just think about this with, like, my kids. My wife, God bless her, when, like, my kids are sick, she just, like, goes into, like, panic mode. And she gets mad at me because I'm calm. She's like, why are you acting like this isn't a big deal? And I'm like,
don't you care about our kids?
I'm dealing with it, you know, right. Responsibly and respectfully and in a controlled way. That's how we need to deal with things. You need to think like a fighter pilot, where your heart rate goes down when an emergency happens because you know what's going on and you're able to handle it. So we're trying to sort of prepare people so when the event comes, not everybody is panicking and tearing their hair out and running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Well, 100%. And I think when you look at that that specific mindset, you know, in this day and age, especially this month, my goodness, if we don't understand what's happening, how can we be effective watchmen, effective, guards of again, the American public and the truth at large? I think of the stories that have hit this past week, even. You think to P. Diddy, the biggest sex scandal that you could even imagine since Jeffrey Epstein. He's basically the black Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
And then, even this morning, you were covering this before I came on with you, Mayor Adams, you know, the mayor of New York City was indicted. He got his house raided this morning by the FBI. They took his cell phone. They took a bunch of documents, took a bunch of things. And then you have to look at this. What is this all about? Harrison, I think what has happened, and the reason you talked about like them losing control, I think that the variable that changed, I mean, obviously God has intervened. That bullet that missed President Trump's head, that was God intervening. Also, God's warriors are standing up. I think just even yesterday, Patrick Bet-David came out of nowhere. I mean, we've known about him, but he has on basically a man to show that the election machines can be hacked. I mean, this was mainstay on InfoWars, 4 years ago. This is you guys are ahead of everyone. But then think about us. He is risking everything to show that it can be hacked. And there's so many people like that. I mean, you got Steven Crowder now doing like James O'Keefe style stings.
Incredible stuff. Yeah.
It's like, wow. And the enemy, they never could have seen this coming. And even with P. Diddy, I just think that they've done so much evil and they're so boisterous and so prideful. They never thought that people would stand up against them. That's what's happening now. Mm. And look at X and the internet. You and I, we have access to information so quickly to the degree of like the Library of Alexandria, the Library of Congress in at the touch of a finger. And we know things that would have taken years to come out, the kind of thing that we have to wait for a declassification. Not anymore. I mean, Mayor Adams, for example, I was reading this on X this morning. I looked into it. It's 100% correct. So we already knew that there was a connection between P. Diddy and Mayor Adams. They spent time together. They're, of course, it's one of the many politicians that P. Diddy was pictured with, over the course of the time he's being accused of sexual assault. But here's the thing. Did you know that Mayor Adams had given P. Diddy the keys to the city? He was actually honored as basically a VIP of New York City. And then the crazier part, this was back about a year ago, September 2023. Right after that, Mayor Adams was honored in a Freemason hall at the Gracie Mansion. They had a Freemason ceremony and made him a Master Mason. Now, people say, well, are these two things connected? I think it's very, very suspicious that a big-time kind of a honeypot agent of the devil is honored. And then in exchange for that honoring, you now have the Devil's Club, the Freemasons, bringing in Mayor Adams and claiming him as one of their own. I mean, we know about the Freemasons. We know about the things that are happening. But I'd say with the Freemasons specifically, they've been quiet, and we thought maybe they disappeared. But they actually intervened. I don't know if you know this. They intervened in the election in France. There was a very interesting story. It didn't hit many places. But they intervened against Marine Le Pen in the second round of the election there a couple months ago. And it was them and the coalition of left-wing groups that defeated Marine Le Pen, the populist candidate. Here in America, you got the Freemasons behind people like P. Diddy and Mayor Adams. And I tell you this, in what, 5 minutes, you and I have probably informed about 100,000 people about the evils of a Freemason lodge that's in their own town. And that's the thing they're afraid of, Harrison. They're afraid of you, they're afraid of me, and they're afraid of the speed of truth these days. And we have to keep fueling that information war.
Yeah, absolutely. And extrapolating from it and not just taking the revelations, for what they are and going, wow, that's crazy, and moving on. Talking about the Steven Crowder capturing the head of the New York City Health, talking about going to orgies, during lockdown and bragging about it. And like, it doesn't just stop there, right? You got to think like, okay, if that is who this guy is, how many people around him know that he's like that? And and would he ever hire a righteous, upstanding, fearless person as an employee? Of course not. He's going to be constantly terrified of being exposed. So every decision he makes is going to have that aspect to it, that, dimension to his calculations is, okay, this person's really good, but they seem like the type of person that would blow the whistle on me, so I'm not going to hire him. And so do that for a couple generations, and everybody at the top level is an evil scumbag that only hires evil scumbags. That's how we got to the point where we are now. Do you think the indictment has anything to do with P. Diddy? Like, what's the connection there? You were telling me before we went live about a connection to Turkish money. I guess more has come out about Mayor Adams. Can you tell us what's been revealed there and whether you think there's a connection to P. Diddy?
Yes, I was just laughing at the photos you were putting on screen of the Jeffrey Epstein, the P. Epstein, the P. Diddy Epstein. Now, listen, what is officially being reported, and it's from the AP, the establishment media, they're saying that the indictment today will be unsealed and will show that Mayor Adams was being investigated for taking money from the government of Turkey. This was in his election campaign. I think that it's more likely that maybe this is a little bit of a check on Mayor Adams. If you're listening to a lot of the reports coming from P. Diddy's associates and former former assistants, other rappers in the game that worked under Diddy, they were saying that this was going to lead back to Mayor Adams' office. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe this is a little bit of a gut check to Mayor Adams to tell him to shut his mouth. I do think this is tied. There's no way this isn't tied together because the feds are also running the P. Diddy investigation. And it's an enormous investigation that involves Mayor Adams. It involves most of the left-wing politicians in this country. It could also be a distraction. I mean, we know the playbook of the enemy. Could they be trying to indict him to try to change the narrative so we don't start talking about people like P. Diddy or maybe worse, people like Tony West? Because we were stolen from the primary. We never got the chance to really look into Kamala Harris, which we would have done. We would have done a rigorous job looking into her, but she was polling at 1%, never got out of the primary. And then out of nowhere, Joe Biden's gone, Kamala Harris is in, and now her brother-in-law, who you're seeing here on screen, Tony West, he's now a mainstay. A lot of people don't know who Tony West is, but they should, Harrison, because Tony West worked under Bill Clinton. He worked under Barack Obama, and he was in charge of a $1 billion embezzlement scheme. And past this, he also has his own ties to this P. Diddy scandal. I've been diving through this, Harrison, because I'm trying to inform and educate as many people as I can, especially Democrat voters. You know, in this month we have left before the election, I don't think they're going to vote for someone this corrupt, I hope. But this man is slated to become the White House counsel, and his own tie back to the Jeffrey Epstein of the Black Freemason Lodges, P. Diddy, comes from a man named Ron Burkle. Now, Ron Burkle is a billionaire.
Can you stay on for five more minutes? We got a five-minute segment on the other side. I'd love to finish out this conversation because I feel like we're not quite done, but I think we can wrap it up in 5 minutes on the other side with the third hour of American Journal. Stay tuned, folks. Infowars.com, band.video. Edward Zoll is my guest at died_suddenly_on X, the website died_suddenly.info. We'll be back on the other side to hear what he was about to say. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. I'm always amazed at how tangled and intricate this web truly is. Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Third hour is on. My guest is Edward Zoll. You can find him on X at died_suddenly_, website died_suddenly.info. We're talking now about connections between P. Diddy and Mayor Eric Adams. And no matter how much you study this, there's always going to be like a name that crops up and you go, who's this guy? And you look in, you're like, wait, this guy's behind everything? This guy's got his fingerprint on all of this other stuff I know about? How have I never heard of this guy? A name you mentioned at the very end of the last segment there. Oh, yeah, you can also follow Ed at Real Edward Zoll on X as well, where he does his Bible studies and things. Ronald Burkle. Who is this guy? How'd you find out about him? How's he play into all this?
So people were asking about the money behind the scandal. And so I started looking into Kamala Harris's biggest donors. And it's a huge tie into the Tony West story, but maybe even bigger than that scoundrel with Ron Burkle. Ron Burkle has a deep tie to P. Diddy because he's the man that intervened when P. Diddy was about to go bankrupt in 2004. He put $100 million into P. Diddy's Sean Jeans company. Bought a major stake through this, and he kept that man from going under. This is the exact timeline, the exact time frame where the abuse that P. Diddy is now being accused of was at its height. Again, it screams of like this is basically P. Diddy's Les Wexner. Les Wexner being the billionaire behind Jeffrey Epstein, the man who bought his houses, bought the New York sex mansion and all the different places. And it also, again, in fashion.
Right.
Ron Burkle is also a major donor in the Democrat Party, specifically for Kamala Harris. He is the top donor for Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. He actually began donating to her and supporting her going back to the attorney general, the district attorney races in California, all the way up to her Senate race, and then eventual now her campaign. The other interesting aspect of Ron Burkle is that we should all actually already know his name, because Ron Burkle flew on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. He was on a trip. He said that after the trip, he found Jeffrey Epstein very creepy. That didn't stop him from jet setting, going to Africa, going on the celebrity tours of Bill Clinton on the sex plane, the place where people were raped. This man, Ron Burkle, is someone I've dived into because he is specifically the money man behind Kamala Harris, the Obamas, Tony West. The last connection I found, Harris, is that when it comes to Ron Burkle, he invests in so much. He specifically invested in Uber. And Uber is where Tony West went to go work after he left the Obama administration. You see, you don't go unemployed when right. You're a Democrat operative, a man that no one knows about until today. Tony West found his job at Uber, and he is the reason you and I talk about DEI. He's the one that started the whole trend of trying to fire white people, basically exclude great working white Americans from the corporate workplaces. He did this at Uber, and then he made it a corporate standard across America.
And I'm telling you, we look into this all the time, and then they're like a name cry, and you can think, how did we miss this guy before? And you can just go to his Wikipedia and see all the stuff he's been involved in for literally decades. And I mean, there's got to be, when you've got somebody like P. Diddy going down, you have to know that there is a whole host of people behind him in the shadows, pulling the strings, using him as a tool to, bring people in. And that's one of the things, I think people don't understand is there's a reason they use pop stars, or there's a reason Jeffrey Epstein pretended to be really into science so he could go and talk to, these high profile scientists, because they're spies and they have to have a cover and they have to have a reason why other, powerful people want to associate with them. So P. Diddy would be a very useful tool and would have gone bankrupt if not for this guy, Ronald Burkle. Amazing stuff. It's just incredible what you can come up with when you actually start digging into this stuff. Edward Zoll, keep up the great work. Follow Ed at Died Suddenly, the website diedsuddenly.info, on X at diedsuddenly_, and at Real Edward Zoll. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ed.
God bless you and the whole Enforce crew.
God bless you as well. And you also go to diedsuddenlynews.substack.com. Lots of ways to find this information, folks. But really, we need you doing your own research as well, because we can't handle all this ourselves. If you want to take your calls this hour, I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines now. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We have the announcement of the indictment about Mayor Adams. I want to go through this shortly. I do want to give you some updates as to what's going on in the Middle East between Hezbollah and Israel, as I don't think people understand how different this conflict is going to be. Maybe we will get into this now. I just suffice it to say, it's a very different ball game than Gaza. Gaza, you've got Hamas as their official government, but it's deemed a terrorist organization, supposedly untrustworthy. Like, you've got announcements yesterday from the Lebanese health ministry that of the 500 plus people who died, practically all, if not all of them, were civilians, not Hezbollah fighters, civilians, innocent civilians, unassociated with any resistance group or military whatsoever. And they're going to try to discredit that. Now, it was easy for them to cast shade or cast doubt or discredit the numbers coming out of Gaza because it was Hamas counting them. Hezbollah is not the one providing the numbers in Lebanon. It's the Lebanese health ministry. They might not have a fully functional first world level government, but they have a government. They have a sovereign government that's not Hezbollah, that's separate from Hezbollah. And they're saying now Lebanon as a nation is going to declare war on Israel, not just Hezbollah, this militia group. So it's a very different ball game that they're playing here, and I don't know if the Israeli tactics have really, or strategies really, taken that into account. You also have a not homogenous population in Lebanon, but the people being targeted are from every religious group. People dying, Christians and Shia and Sunni. And so they're pissing everybody off in Lebanon, and people that aren't associated with it. And like, I was talking to Lebanon John yesterday, and you know, he was just going, look, you got all these people in Gaza. You can sort of keep them running from place to place. They've killed just God knows how many. But you're talking about a nation in Lebanon. You're talking about 5 million plus population. How many of them do you have to kill before the whole nation surrenders? A million? They have to kill a million people? They've been at it for a week. They've gotten 500. That's a pretty long way to go. The strategy of just leveling the whole place like they're doing in Gaza, it's not going to work in Lebanon, but that seems to be what they're trying to do. We'll get into that. We will get into that. I want to hit this indictment first, since it just came out. Before we do that, I want to go to a video because it ties into everything that we were talking about with Ed Zoll. It's an FBI whistleblower urging Americans to, quote, vote, arm themselves, and stock up on 3 to 4 months of food and water, and to pray. And again, this is coming at the same time as Russia is announcing they will use nuclear weapons if a nuclear-armed power gets involved directly against them, or if, you know, people start hitting Moscow. We'll show you that announcement at the same time that obviously the war is heating up in the Middle East, at the same time that they're trying to frame Iran for assassination attempts against Trump. It's like we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But combine this with the fact that they're going to try to steal the election. They're already setting up the narrative for red mirage, I think that's what they call it, where, yeah, it's going to look like Trump is winning on election day, but then in the middle of the night, something's going to happen, and by the morning, it'll be Kamala has won, and you're not supposed to question it, and we're telling you now to prepare you to accept this in the future, even though logically we should have no idea what's going to happen. They're setting something up. You even have congressmen like Jamie Raskin talking about civil war conditions, talking about, you know, basically they're going to rig the election. If you question it, you'll be deemed a domestic terrorist. They'll go after you. They expect civil war conditions, which means they're preparing for civil war conditions, which means they're getting ready to wage war in a very real and overt way on us. All of this happening at once. And now you've got this FBI whistleblower telling people to get ammo and food for the next 3 to 4 months, as if we don't have way more than that already. Let's go to this video and see what we can make of it, shall we?
And everybody in the minority party, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next administration while they sit here and they look at the guy who's been persecuted by the FBI. And everybody in the room understands it. Mr. Allen, do you have comments you wish to make? I'll give you about a minute and a half, and then I want to turn the rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
Yes, sir. I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as my warning to them. Since this is a warning to the American people, I say, I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I've been persecuted along with Garrett, Steve and Kyle, and countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. It has been a seemingly effective tactic. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in. Their ability to overclassify information can allow them to stonewall forever. To the American people, you have a duty as a citizen to vote, and I strongly urge you to do so. It's how you participate in the American experience. I know people have doubts about election integrity, but you must vote. It is your claim. Stake your claim and don't forfeit it willingly. Have your voice heard. My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. And as a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary. Go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic. And read the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You know, Mr. Allen, the fact that there are servants like you who have borne up under persecution that a lot of political leaders in this country do not care about is the thing that heartens the American people. And I'm confident the American people will resolve the situation.
It's like we've been saying for months and months, there is a war going on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C., and you can see it if you just look for it. It is the unelected, unaccountable, bureaucratic spy state housed within the executive branch, including the DOJ, the FBI, including the CIA, the entire national security apparatus, headed at this point by Avril Haines, person who ran Event 201, person who has her fingers in all of this. And that also includes DHS, obviously, and the invasion headed by Alejandro Mayorkas. They are working to be without oversight. The idea is that you empower these guys. You give them authority. You say, hey, look, you can arrest people. You can kill people if you have a good reason. But there's a trade-off. The trade-off is nothing you do is private. Everything you do is under maximum scrutiny. And if you mess up, you pay a severe price for it. They are trying to get rid of that second half of the agreement. They want all of the power and none of the oversight. The only way we have as Americans of expressing that oversight is through Congress, through the Senate. We can elect the executive leader every 4 years, but largely the people underneath him maintain that is the deep state, the continuity between elected officials of the unelected spy masters, deep state operatives that continually work. So if Congress and the Senate are not given information into what these groups are doing, are denied or rejected when they issue subpoenas to question these people, when these people can lie to Congress, bald-faced, blatant lies, and not be punished for it, then that means Congress has no oversight, which means voters have no oversight, which means voters have no say in the activity or the personnel of the executive branch, meaning we don't live in a democracy or a republic or a constitutional republic. We live in a tyranny, in a bureaucracy, essentially, in rule by bureaucrat, for which we have no say whatsoever. So I agree with him that, like, you have to vote, but you have to make your vote count. And the way you make your vote count is by having congressmen who won't let themselves be blackmailed or steamrolled by the FBI or the CIA and will actually provide oversight and actually, you know, flex their legislative muscle or draw back the purse strings in order to get these people to behave constitutionally. So there you go, an FBI whistleblower telling you to stock up on food for 3 to 4 months, get 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood to mutually protect each other. And I think the most valuable thing you could do at this moment is to create a neighborhood watch, to create a group of neighbors that you patrol the neighborhood and you have a catalog or a at least in your mind, a reference of who has what skills, who can do what, who can be where, who has what first aid material or weaponry or storable food, so that in a major event, a black swan event that very much seems to be coming and will likely coincide with the shutdown of InfoWars and the election, which both are slated to happen in the same week. Yeah, it might get really bad. So if you're looking for something valuable to do in the next month or so, might I suggest creating a neighborhood watch group with people on your block, you know, just in case. Now, this is the story that just dropped minutes ago from the New York Post. We'll go out to your calls in just a moment. But this is about the indictment of Mayor Adams. Historic federal indictment against Mayor Adams claims he took free luxury travel, ritzy perks, and donation scheme. Just right off the bat, like before even getting into it, you can already sort of see how things work and how the machine operates. Well, I'll read a little bit more, but just think about the billions of dollars poured into something like the Clinton Global Initiative that was receiving boatloads of cash until she lost the election and suddenly that dried up. Part of the Illuminati, part of the deep state, part of the elite, whatever you want to call them, I'm calling them the enemy. Part of what the enemy does is not just like blackmail people, get people to have sex with children on camera so you can hold it over them later, or have the, you know, like a gang has you kill somebody. So they're like, hey, if you ever mess with us, you know, you can go down for that. We have that on you and we can destroy you with this. We'll keep this in our back pocket. That's one way they do it. Another way that they might do it is, well, everybody takes trips. Everybody accepts gifts one way or another when they're in office or running for office. Everybody does. So if you're on our side, those things will get overlooked. They won't get charged. Case of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is another perfect example. Hillary Clinton uses campaign money to fund the Steele dossier. Totally illegal, but very similar to what Donald Trump is now facing 34 counts and is a convicted felon over. And when it came time to punish Hillary Clinton for this, she wasn't punished. She wasn't even blamed. The DNC paid a $100,000 fine and it was over. It was washed away. If they'd wanted to, if instead they wanted to destroy Hillary Clinton, then they could have charged her with 34 felony counts and sent her to prison for a long time. So it's like everybody does something kind of illegal, technically illegal, maybe on the verge of legal and not legal. And if everybody's like that, then the people in power in charge of enforcing the laws, if they're just picking and choosing, all right, we're going to ignore all of these people's crimes, but just go after this guy's crimes, that's another lever that they can wield to manipulate people. So like that's just, you know, you talk about free luxury travel, ritzy perks in donation scheme. It's like every politician travels on other people's dimes. Again, Hillary Clinton was getting billions of dollars from Saudi Arabia poured into her own coffers just because there was one degree of separation in that it was a nonprofit that helped Haiti, right? Just want you to know, that's my first take, not even halfway through this first line. But here's what the article says. Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on charges he allegedly took illegal campaign contributions and bribes, including free flights and ritzy perks from foreign nationals in exchange for favors, according to a bombshell federal indictment unsealed by Manhattan prosecutors Thursday. The five-count indictment, the first against a sitting New York City mayor, details an alleged decade-long pattern of corruption by Adams after he was indicted by a grand jury as part of a long-running federal probe that's ensnared a number of his closest allies and aides. In 2014, Eric Adams, the defendant, became Brooklyn Borough President. Thereafter, for nearly a decade, Adams sought and accepted improper valuable benefits such as luxury international travel, including from wealthy foreign business people and at least one Turkish government official seeking to gain influence over him. The indictment charges. Didn't we just hear in the interview between Thomas Massie and Tucker Carlson the fact that every single Republican in Congress has taken an all-expense-paid trip to Israel, paid for by the Israeli government, paid for by AIPAC, who they all have an individual AIPAC handler who coordinates between the nation of Israel and their... So, you know, again, it's like this is... this is the usefulness of, you know, improper application of law to bring about tyranny. If the law was just an algorithm that just like a robot unthinkingly did whatever it was told to do, and just somebody takes a legal bribe, they get punished, and that's that. That'd be one thing. But what we have now is some people are just allowed to do it and other people aren't. Some countries are just allowed to take our politicians on lavish vacations and other ones aren't. There's no legal basis for this. They just choose not to enforce one and enforce the other. Prior to the indictment coming down, sources had revealed the charges were likely connected to allegations the Turkish government had illegally funneled money into Adams's mayoral campaign in exchange for approval of the Turkish consulate in Manhattan. Eric Adams, a defendant, sought and accepted illegal campaign contributions in the form of nominee or straw contributions, meaning that the true contributors conveyed their money through nominal donors who falsely certified they were contributing their own money, the indictment stated. Not to pick on Israel, but this is also what happened with the lobby. We've shown you the clips on this show before, where they bring together politicians and a bunch of wealthy Jewish donors in somewhere like New York, and they just give them a stack of credit cards and just go, you can spend $2,000 on each one of these cards. And it's illegal to donate more than $2,000. So in the records and under taxes and under disclosure, it looks like you out of a bunch of people give $2,000, but really it's just one organization funneling that money through. Or what about the Act Blue donations that James O'Keefe and others have been investigating that shows that some 60-year-old woman on a fixed income donated 10,000 times to Act Blue, donated, you know, $30 every hour for a year, and they go and knock on her door and she's like, I've never donated once. I've never even heard of Act Blue. And yet it's her address and her name and her number that is listed as the donator. So again, it's like, is this stuff bad and corrupt? Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably should something be done about it? Yes. Are they doing it now because it's bad and because it's illegal and because it's wrong because they don't want people doing it? No. If that was the case, everybody in Congress would be arrested. Everybody in Congress knows this is going on and allows it to go on and participates in this scam. So why are they going after Eric Adams now? You know, I don't even like Eric Adams. Screw that guy. Like, he sucks. But I do like justice. But I do like living in a country governed by laws and not the whims of psychopaths. They say by smuggling their contributions through straw donors, Adams' overseas contributors defeated local federal laws that served to prevent foreign influence on U.S. elections. It wasn't immediately clear when Adams would have to appear in court in the wake of the indictment. Sources had earlier said the Post told the Post that he wasn't expected to turn himself in until early next week. The court filing dropped shortly before U.S. Attorney Southern District of New York Damian Williams is slated to hold an 11:30 a.m. news conference to announce significant public corruption charges. Meanwhile, nearly a dozen FBI agents were spotted swarming Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion. Interesting. Interesting. So he claims he's being targeted for criticizing the Biden-Harris administration over its handling of the migrant crisis that's wrecked the Big Apple, saying, I always knew if I stood my ground for all of you, I'd be a target, and a target I became. Again, what he's done about the migrant crisis is to invite in all the migrants, declare themselves a sanctuary city, pay for 5-star hotels for them to stay in, and then beg the federal government for money. It's not exactly criticizing. He's just like, give us more money. He's like, we're doing the thing you want us to do. You pay for it. I don't think that's, I think they're going to go after him over that. I think that's a distraction. Honestly, I don't really know what to make of this right now. Greco, a top Adams aide, had her Bronx home raided by FBI agents in February, though it wasn't clear at the time it was tied to the Turkey probe. Okay, so the accusation is that the Turkish government funneled money through basically puppets to bribe Mayor Eric Adams so he would approve a Turkish consulate in Manhattan? Yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm really not buying it. There's so many things wrong with this story. This sounds like the most flimsy excuse to go after the mayor of New York. What? Maybe there's more to it that I'm missing, but I'm definitely missing something here. Something is missing from this story. I don't know what it is exactly, but like, why wouldn't they approve a Turkish consulate in Manhattan? Why would one mayoral candidate want to do that and another one not want to do that? This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't pass the smell test. What it sounds like is parallel construction. What it sounds like is they wanted to go after something, and they came up with this. So much other stuff to talk about. We'll use calls as a guiding light of where we head in this final segment. Let's go to Craig in Ohio. I want to talk about the financial markets. I hear they're going great, Craig. I hear everything is wonderful, according to the numbers.
Yeah, good morning, Harrison. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Yeah, so we talked a while back, and I don't know if you remember, but I'm the hedge fund guy from Central Iowa, as I called myself. And yep. So I just wanted to confirm some of the things you were talking about. The NASDAQ, which has pretty much been driven by the Magnificent Seven. I don't know if you've been covering those, but those are the big tech stocks. And that's what's driven this market up a lot. Well, we're seeing huge volatility intraday in there. And I've traded these markets for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like it. It's very unnerving. So it fits with what you're talking about today with, you know, things being set up. And so there's my perception or my belief on this is that there's somebody that's huge, that has massive amounts of resources and money that's just driving these markets up and down, up and down. And the reason they do that, Harrison, and to the audience, is that they like to do what's called distribution. This has been going on, you know, since the days of, you know, before the 1929 stock market crash, where they get operators, right, stock market operators, they call them, that actually will distribute these positions for the big players, right, the big money. And okay. So that seems to be what we're feeling here. And the markets are incredibly volatile, right, incredibly volatile intraday. So it's confirming what you're saying is what I'm trying to say.
So what you're saying is that the markets seem to be showing signs that something big is coming.
Exactly. And so we saw this before, you know, we saw this before the COVID crisis, right? There was a repo crisis that occurred in the summer, right? The same time that, you know, the event 201 was going on, right around that August window of time. So very, very similar situation. We saw the same thing happen before, you know, the real estate crisis happened in 2008. We saw similar things happen before the towers came down with the NASDAQ bubble popping. So I've been around for a while. Also the Asian currency crisis, long-term capital management in the late 90s. So we've seen this pattern over and over and over again. So this isn't like a one-off, right? This is stuff that we've seen happen before. And you know, I've been around to trade all those markets, so I've seen this stuff go on. And so, you know, it's funny, you know, I just feel like this needs to get out there. So, you know, I started doing a show on LFA TV every morning and just to get the word out to people. That's all. You know what I mean? And so we cover on there the dollar and, you know, what's really going on with the dollar, because all these markets can give us a clue of what's going on. And it's stuff that's going on under the surface that people just don't see, you know. And so what I'm trying to do is confirm the things that you're doing, you know, with my area of expertise, which is the market, and trying to get it out to people and, you know, try to help them prepare for this. One, just mentally, right, for what's probably coming here. And two, financially, right, because we've handed over our 401ks to the bad guys, right? Yeah. You know, we work our whole lives, put all our money in our 401ks, and we give them to a fund that we think is, you know, innocent, but they're subbing the money out to BlackRock, or they're giving it to Blackstone, or they're giving it to, you know, or it's sitting in Vanguard, or it's sitting at State Street, and all these different places where these guys have the money to control and run their pet projects that actually come back and bite us in the rear end. And, you know, so we're using our own money to bite ourselves in the rear end, basically.
Right. No, we're funding our own destruction. You're exactly right. How much do you think the volatility has to do with the looming shutdown of the ports if there's no agreement with the longshoremen union? You know, we're hearing rumors that basically worldwide shipping is going to grind to a halt for a couple days. And it's, you know, if that happens even for one day, it's going to be a week to get back up to speed. 2 days, it's 2 weeks. It's like exponential. How much do you think that is weighing on the market right now?
Well, I think it all contributes, Harrison. But here's the thing, is that the S&P has made 41 record highs this year. Okay, so the S&P is 500 stocks. So it's big and it's broad. And it just made a record high yesterday again, and the day before that. You know, and then the Dow looks fairly solid still, too. So the Dow is 30 of the biggest stocks. So these markets aren't really indicating anything. It's the NASDAQ that's really indicating things. And remember, that's where NVIDIA's at, right? One of the largest market cap stocks, Apple, you know, Microsoft, Meta, Google, Tesla, you know, all the big ones, right, where all this money's been sitting. So I'm looking at different markets tell you different things, and the constitution of how they're made up tells you different things. And so what I'm looking for is two things, right? NASDAQ number one and the German DAX number two. We're seeing huge weakness in Europe, right? Germany's falling apart, right? You probably covered some of the stories with Volkswagen, and you know their economy's falling to shreds, and they have a tight connection to China too. And that's one other thing I want to mention too is China, right? They're throwing money at this like crazy, Harrison. They came out on Monday and they threw the kitchen sink at the market because their market's down 40% since 2021. And then they came back last night and they just said, we're going to hand out free cash, right? We're going to come in and stimulate the housing market, right, to get people to buy houses. So it's like pushing on a string, right? Mm-hmm. If people resist it, you can push all you want, but you're just pushing on a string. And so I'm watching China. I'm watching Germany, right? The German DAX is at all-time highs. It makes absolutely no sense as weak as their economy is. And then we're watching the NASDAQ, right? And these other markets matter. So, yeah, all these things matter, Harrison. The ports and all that stuff all contribute. But there's something bigger going on under the surface here. I think it's bigger than the ports. It's going to contribute. All of it. And maybe that's part of it, right?
Well, and the other speculation about the ports was that the union negotiations was just cover. People think that the military is going to take over the ports, and it's all a prelude to full-fledged World War III as they militarize the supply chains. Yeah. Craig, I could talk to you forever. I want to get to some other callers. Tell us how people can listen to your show.
Yeah, so I'm on Rumble. It's just World HD. So World Space HD. It's on every morning at 8 to 9 a.m. East Coast time, and we go through all this stuff every morning now. So I, you know, thanks to you guys for you know, all you do, and we're just all trying to pick up little torches here and carry them ourselves. So thank you. Thank
lighting
you for
lighting
you
the brush fires of liberty around the country. Thank you so much, Craig. It is fascinating stuff, and the market is one of those things that I find baffling and opaque, but then when somebody can really explain it, you realize how important it can be as a, if nothing else, a metric for reading the temperature of the nation. So troubling things going on under the surface doesn't surprise me, but really just worries me a little bit more. Thank you for the call, Craig. Let's go to Laura in San Diego now on line number 8. Because, Laura, you say you recently found InfoWars, which I always love hearing stories about people who are just waking up. Thanks for calling in, Laura. You're on the air.
Hey, Ben. Hi. Yes. So I recently found you guys when all of the Sandy Hook case in Connecticut.
Yep.
I heard about that on the news, and I had never heard of you guys before until then, and which is kind of ironic because yes, they were trying to shut you guys down.
Very ironic.
Now I pretty much listen to you guys every morning. It's pretty funny.
That's great.
But anyway, yeah, I'm actually from San Antonio. Was raised as a liberal, voted Democrat. Until recently.
Right.
For anyone who may be leaning towards the left and for not maybe not so in favor of Trump, I'm telling you, you do not want what California has to offer.
Right.
It is terrible. Every time I pass by the migrant hotels, I tell my boyfriend, like, look, there's our tax dollars.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's just getting worse by the day. I mean, there's an app to submit reports for homeless camps where there's drug addicts and.
Oh, shoot. Dang it. The call dropped. I was enjoying that call. Sorry, Laura, you dropped, but if you can hear me, thank you so much for the call. And I was interested in talking a little bit more because, you know, California is one of these places where there is something special about it. There's no denying it. California is unbelievably beautiful. The weather, the people, the farmland. I mean, it really is something special. And you take this beautiful thing and you just destroy it. You just disassemble it. I mean, I was in San Diego earlier this year and, you know, you can just imagine, you just walk down the street and you go, man, I bet 50 years ago this place was paradise. Like, I bet there's nowhere in the world better than this place before the liberals got a hold of it, before the amnesty, before Ronald Reagan, before the influx, before the socialism, before the gated communities and the homeless camps just outside. I bet this place was heaven on earth. And that is, of course, that's what happens. It's almost more tragic. It's really, I don't know, I don't want to insult any city. I won't use any actual examples, but you know, so you build a city on a swamp and it goes bad. You're like, wow, it was a swamp. You know, someone destroys an ugly painting. Nobody cares. But when you've got a masterpiece of geography like California to see it just gutted and left destroyed is the height of tragedy. So thank you for that call, Laura. And just on that note, just because this has been rattling around in my mind all show, and it is associated with what Laura's talking about, having been a liberal or a Democrat recently. L, from some B I know, from Big Dig Energy, posted this, and I just thought this was a fun trip down memory lane for me. L says, I used to call birthers racist until I was blue in the face. Then I saw the archived and time-stamped evidence they were citing. My bad. And that's what I've heard other people say, well, everybody at InfoWars used to be a liberal. And it's like, no, not really. Like, I was never a liberal. I was just anti-war. And the Republicans at the time they're all Lindsey Graham. They were all insane. So we didn't want to vote for them. And, you know, not falling for the economic or the equality bullcrap that they push, but falling for some of the rhetoric about, because they, you know, they know what to say. They talk about privacy, they talk about security, they talk about ending the wars, and you go, wow, these guys sound great. And then they get elected and they're like, we are replacing all the white men with black women, screw you white men. You're like, oh, that's what I was voting for, to quote L, my bad, I didn't realize. But I've told the story before, but it is one of my favorites because I'm sure other people have had similar experiences to this. When I was like in high school, maybe it was a year after high school, but we were hanging out with my friend and we were at his brother's place. And I've always been into conspiracies. I've always watched InfoWars or whatever. But like back in my day, nobody was political in high school. Nobody cared about politics in high school. It wasn't a thing really. And it had just come out that they'd published Barack Obama's birth certificate. And I saw an article on InfoWars that was like, you can download the birth certificate that the government published, you can drag it into Photoshop, and you can separate the layers, and you can see that this is a fake Photoshopped PDF. And so I did that. I had Photoshop at the time. I mean, this was like 2006, probably, something like that. And not everybody had these things on their phones. Not everybody had Photoshop or whatever. But I did, because I did work on that type of stuff. So I went to the government website, the .gov domain. I downloaded the PDF they published as proof Obama, you know, was born in Hawaii. I dragged that file into Photoshop, and there they were, different layers. The layer of the you know, typewriter text, and then the layer of the handwriting text. And I remember separating and going, oh my God, this is fake. You can't scan a document and have, especially not back then, have two different layers on one scanned document. That doesn't make any sense. Long story short, I did this and realized it. And I brought it up, and it was like one of the first times that I was like so confused at why everybody was angry at me. Like, everybody got angry at me. I voted for Obama. Everybody knew I voted for, like, but I'm like, oh guys, y'all want to know something really weird? This birth certificate they published, it's not real. It's Photoshopped, and I can show you. And like my friend's brother was like, that's racist, dude. And it was like so baffling to me. And I mean, there's lots of aspects to this, but like how far we've come, how far we've gotten, but also how this mentality's been in place for decades. And I'm sure other people have this feeling or this experience where, like, you're just innocently going, huh, this is really crazy. I bet my friend would like to hear this. Hey, isn't this crazy? And they're just like, no, dude, that's racist. How dare you say that? And you're just like, well, I just thought this was like a weird thing. It's just like a bizarre thing. Something we're arguing about, like, well, no, but if he was a foreign student, then he got a blah, blah, and that means he has blackmail on him, which means they'd want it, and he must have been associated with the intelligence agency, and like it becomes this big thing. But I wonder now, you know, kids going through this sort of stuff where they find something interesting, they're like, hey, this is interesting. I should show this to my friends, only to have their friends be like, you're not allowed to think that. You're not allowed to believe that. You're lying. And again, it stands out in my mind because it was like the first time I'd ever experienced where I'm having people who have no idea what I'm talking about call me a liar for something that I saw with my own eyes. I'm sitting here going, I downloaded the file, I put it into Photoshop, I separated the layers. And they're going, that's not true, dude. That's a lie. That's conspiracy. And you're sitting there like, what is happening? I just told you about this. I'm the one informing you about this. How are you calling me a liar? You didn't even know this was a thing. All I'm saying is this is an experience that we info warriors have that other people probably have no experience with, and is something that you like can't explain to anybody. How weird it is to tell somebody something that you experienced, something they've never heard of, and for them to turn around to you and say, you're lying, that never happened. What? So, Americans have been far gone for a while. Sorry to ramble, but I like that people can still change their mind. I like that people are still just discovering InfoWars. I love that they're discovering InfoWars because of the publicity for the Sandy Hook thing. That is beautiful. Jeff in Gainesville has called in. Thank you for calling in. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing, Harrison?
Good, thank you.
Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you well. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, that Mr. Allen, he was right on. Great defense. We need at least a minimum of a fire team in each neighborhood. Mm. But we got to remember about offensive, too. Okay? Just not defensive, because sitting back waiting, you're prone to being taken out easy.
Right.
States are free, independent, sovereign, and have reserve power over the federal government. Okay? We created the federal government and state governments. What's the first three letters or the first three words of the Constitution? We the people.
Right.
And it's giant, giant words. So if we can recall, impeach, and what's the other one? Your elective officials, if they're not doing their job, which is to secure your constitutional rights, they're acting treasonous and they're breaking the law. They're criminals. What you do is you petition, you go to their offices, don't go to D.C., you go to Congress, Senate, local and federal, and just go there every day. Write them, call them, put in documents. If they don't answer or reply that why they're not securing your constitutional rights, file. Now, it can be done in days, recall and impeachment and dismissal charges against them, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's the saying, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Like, there's a reason
exactly
why all of these leftist groups get what they want. It's because they are aggressive.
Well, they got think tanks.
They've got think tanks. They've got money.
Too.
They've got activists who can dedicate all of their time to, you know, petitioning and lobbying the Congress. But we have to do that. We can't just sit back and expect our just continually failing elected representatives to do anything about this. Go ahead.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know Texas has two Chinese farms right next to military bases?
I do know that. Yep.
But you do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why does Abbott allow that? He's the – okay, states are a nation of territory considered an organized political community under the government, like Germany, Italy. Your state is the independent government. You can remove or pressure him to serve your constitutional rights,
yeah,
and none of them
to.
Are.
Basically,
the NGOs don't belong there.
We need to take this as seriously as it deserves. And one thing I'm always sort of frustrated at is you've got people, you know, the example I always point to is you had some activists storm the stage. I think it was during 2020 or 2016. It was during some presidential campaign, but they're like storming the stage on some presidential event. They're having to be tackled by Secret Service. They're like screaming and flailing and making this huge scene. It becomes a national news story. What they were, who they were vegans protesting milk. They're protesting against milk. Okay. It's like milk's the most inoffensive animal product ever. But these people are so worked up about these tiny things. They're so passionate. And that's how they get things done. Look at like the people storming the stage at Trump rallies or, you know, whatever else. And it's like, okay, these people are this fired up. They're risking jail time. They're risking their lives. They're, you know, causing this huge scene over something that in some cases, like climate change, doesn't even exist. Or in other cases, is like you're protesting milk. Really? That's what you're so passionate. Like, this is retarded. We're on the other side. We're talking about World War III. We're talking about depopulation. We're talking about total abject tyranny. We're talking about activists being thrown into jail for crimes they didn't commit, were committed by other people states away without the knowledge of the person now sitting in jail for 20 years for it. Like, what we're talking about is so crazy, so insane. And yet the people protesting milk are more fired up, more willing to go get in people's faces, more willing to go get involved, more willing to make a scene, more willing to protest publicly than we are. They're protesting milk. They're protesting cow's milk like that. So we need to get active. We need to get involved. We need to make other people care about this stuff because that's what they do. And it works and it's successful. The only problem is, as Jeff points out, they've got the think tanks. They've got the money. They've got professional activists who spend all day, every day pushing this stuff. And we have jobs to go to in the morning. But if we can't treat this with the seriousness it deserves and we're being out protested by the anti-milk people, I think there's a reason why nobody listens to us. Thank you for the call, Jeff. I totally agree with everything you're saying. Let's go to Matthew in Virginia. Matthew, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harris.
Good morning.
Quick plug, Bodies, the next two, combat veteran, 8.5 years, did 2 tours in Afghanistan. I need it. Every day I take it, it keeps me going, man.
Beautiful.
In saying that, it's unfortunate how the globalists, everything that they do is so multifaceted that, you know, our modern minds relying on dopamine, on swipes and likes, just cannot conceive how evil these people truly are and how much they want us dead because we're useless eaters. In the sense of Garland, I mean, it's such distraction, you know, all of it. Anything locally, I mean, where I'm at in Virginia, it's the board. They don't care. They install people. You know, they're not being voted in, and they do it right under our noses, right in front of our faces, and nobody does anything about it. And like you touched on there at the very end, you know, we have jobs. I'm at work right now, and I'm using my lunch break to talk.
Right.
I called in last week, and I spoke with Chase, and the call didn't quite go as I wanted to. I got a little perverse, but you know, it is what it is, man. I'm passionate about it because I see the country going down without a fight. Nobody's really fighting, and I mean, how long are we going to rely on Schofield and Boomer and just allow the Zionists to continue on with what they're doing? You brought up AIPAC earlier. I mean, I don't trust JD. He took AIPAC money.
Yeah.
You know, Trump's up there beating the drum for
his assassination on Iran. It's absurd.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's atrocious is what it is. And they're not speaking for us. Like I said, I mean, yeah, I told Chase that, yeah, Trump's the last bastion, but what's that worth? I really think he's definitely more politically geared this time.
I totally
last
agree.
Time
we're about to come to the end of the show, so I'm sorry to cut you off, but it was great stuff. I'd love to talk to you again. Keep calling in. You You'll get used to it and get better and better. Thank you so much for the call, Matthew, and I do want to hear from you again. People are constantly saying, you know, I hope Trump learned his lesson. I hope we learned our lesson. I hope we learned our lesson to not trust Q, not sit back and trust the plan, get Trump elected, and then use that as a beachhead to launch the real assault. This is just the beginning, folks. It's going to get crazy. Stay with us.